Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Hi, kids. Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Now, you're saying to yourself, but. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying, but I'm used to hearing the show intro.
Mm-hmm.
Steve and Johnny. Mm-hmm. Johnny and Steve. Mm-hmm. We're not abandoning that intro.
No.
But we are just blown away by what we're about to share with you. And what we are about to share with you was created by Spike Odell. And we have conned Spike Odell, who usually goes to bed about 9:30. We've conned him into staying up late to talk with us about this and the wonderful song that we played for you last week that we had so many people saying, I love that. Would you play it again? And we will. But first of all, turn up your radio to the threshold of pain. We were surprised and blown away when Spike Odell surprised us with this.
I love that.
I feel like we should be running out of a tunnel, and there should be cheerleaders greeting us.
Spike, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That sounds pretty good on the radio, you guys.
It does. It sounds very good. Spike joining us from Nashville. Of course, Spike, the pride of East Moline. Spike, is this setup working for you, or would you prefer being on the phone?
Because we're hearing ourselves back in echo reverb.
You know what? If you want to call me on the phone, I can do that, too.
Okay, let's do that, because it's going to be... We don't need to be confused. We're so easily confused. Okay.
Okay, I'll pick the phone up when you call.
All right, sounds good. He'll accept our phone call.
He will.
Yeah, we thought we would try something, and Spike enjoys technology, so I thought, well, let's just give it a shot, but we'll have to give that a whirl some other time. You have his number?
Yes.
He does. Good.
Jonathan is calling Spike even as we speak.
So quite seriously, he sent us that. And
we had no idea he was going to, but literally everything you heard was Spike Odell.
Wow. Not his voice, though.
No, not his voice.
He's going to explain how he creates these wonderful pieces of music. And the one that we played last week, we couldn't believe the feedback that we got from people saying, I got to hear it again. Where can I get it? That's when we say the boy has to stay up late for us.
But what'd you think, Ron?
I'll play it again. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It sounds like we should be running through a tunnel and then we should run out on the field like on Monday Night Football.
And then play football. Yes,
right.
Absolutely. That was high energy. That was fantastic production. I can't wait for the show to begin.
I know. Am I worthy of that theme?
You've got a lot to live up to when that intro starts.
The pressure is on. Spike, have we connected again?
Yeah, you got me.
Yes, sir.
We got you.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so honored because...
And we were totally surprised. We had no idea. What made you decide to do that? I mean, thank you, but wow.
You know what? I'm retired. I was just killing time. And, you know, you said you were going to play the other song last week, so I thought, you know what, I'll just, they seemed to like that, so I thought, I'll see what I can do about an open or something. I didn't know if you were still playing Bob Young's or what.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll just put something together for the heck of it, throw it up there and see if they like it. It sounded good on the radio.
It did sound good.
We were blown away by that and totally surprised. And now I am learning that guitar solo where it says, take it, Steve. That's not me, but I'm learning that.
I figured you'd really like it.
Well, now, let's back up for a moment. I like to believe that we have some people that don't know who Spike Odell is. They don't know who Steve
is.
Well, quite seriously, there are people that text us every week and say, so you guys are married? Oh, really?
Yeah, we still get that.
Yeah. So,
You know what? I always said 10 years after I'm gone, people will have a hard time remembering my name.
Oh,
so
please.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, 1987, you joined this radio station. Wasn't it springtime, like May of 87?
Yeah, right after the Cubs season.
And you had come to us. You'd hopped around some radio stations, but you are always considered the pride of East Moline. Correct?
Oh, that's the hometown. Yeah.
Yes. You were doing afternoons until 2000, the year 2000.
And I remember when we first met you, we did something. It was some publicity thing for Learner Newspapers. And Bob Collins was introducing you, and he said, and he was absolutely right, you're about to meet the future of this radio station.
Yes, yes, I remember that well.
Wow, it was all those years ago. Man, it doesn't seem like it's that long ago.
I know, because I can remember, we posted a picture on our blog to promote tonight's show, and the picture is an oldie but a goodie. And there you are in the front row with me and Steve. And I looked at that, and I said, I remember that day. I remember what we talked about.
What we had to
Did
come
I
in
still from... have hair?
Yes.
It was one of those noon staff meetings in the conference room. And and Milt Rosenberg and
John Williams and Steve Cochran are all in the picture with us.
Those were some classic meetings we had there.
So in 2000, after the passing of Bob Collins, you moved from afternoons and then you moved into the morning show. And you were there for, wasn't it 8 years, Spike?
Almost nine,
And it was, as I recall, it was wintertime. It was December when you did your last show.
Last show, coldest day.
Yes.
Of the year. It was so cold. And I can't believe all those people went out there to the theater where we had our show.
Yes.
And they stood out there in the cold. And finally, the owners of the theater said, come on in, guys. You don't need a ticket. Just, you guys are going to freeze. Get in here.
Yes. Yeah. That was huge. And then you had already planned to make the move to Nashville, you and Karen, and you've had a wonderful life in Nashville, from what we could see, right?
You know what? We love it down here. Yeah, I never in my life thought I would live in Tennessee, but the deal was, I told Karen, I said, you know what? Radio is kind of a weird business. I may end up at 15 different stations. If you follow me, you can go wherever you want when I'm done with this, and I'll follow you. And this is where she wanted to go. I said, let's go.
Yeah. God bless her. Yeah, because it's been great for you guys. Your kids are there. Your grandkids are there.
Well, this is her home area.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's from Tennessee, so.
Well,
I'm from the road from Frog Jump.
I'm from Tennessee, too, but I don't see us moving to Tennessee. So. But you've had it.
See you guys very easily in Nashville.
Yeah.
You guys would love, I know you've been here a zillion times.
We love Nashville, we love Franklin, and we've often said if we were going to move to another rather large city, Nashville would be the city that we would move to.
It's a great big little town.
Yes, and it seems like it's getting bigger all the time. I mean, I feel like it's changed dramatically in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but they even had a country band called Little Big Town.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
all right. Now,
exactly for that reason.
You agreed to stay up late, and we're not kidding because Spike's body clock is still on the morning show, so you still go to bed at 9:30 at night. You get up at the crack of dawn,
you're
right?
You're still on morning man body clock.
I get up early. I do a lot of study, reading. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of pictures in the morning. I play, you know, I've got my ham radio license. Mm-hmm. By the way, say hello to Mike in Eubank, Kentucky. He's listening. And Tom in Louisa, Kentucky. They said they're going to listen tonight.
Oh, cool.
Hi, Mike and Tom.
They listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, that's so sweet. I tell you what, we've got to take a break. And in fact, we're going to do a commercial for the Sea Crane folks. And every time we do it, invariably somebody will text.
But I'm not kidding, Spike. Every, it's Tuesday and Thursday nights.
Yes.
And Johnny and I go to the ham band on the Sea Crane radio, and we listen to the ham operators. They have a meeting every Tuesday and Thursday night, and it was just a couple weeks ago, we heard a guy who I believe was in the northern suburbs. He was talking with someone from Japan.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
You know what? I just talked to a guy from Japan about a week ago.
Well, every time I do the commercial, though, on Saturday night, somebody will text and say, well, you mentioned the ham band. How can we find Spike on the ham band? So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot to talk to you about, including the making of this wonderful music that you're sharing with us. Spike Odell is our guest right here on WGN Radio.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Spike Odell, and you're listening to a little more music from the mind of Spike Odell. Spike, you want to share with us what that was and how it came to be?
You know what? That I'm surprised you. I mean, I sent that to you. I know, but it kind of blows me away to hear it that way. I wrote that right before my house burnt down out in Aurora. We all remember that.
Oh yeah, yeah, sadly.
And, I had this little 8-track digital keyboard that I could record stuff on. So I laid down the track. It was 2-track piano. That I laid 2 tracks of piano down for that, and I kept it. It was on my computer, and I had it forever. So I was just messing around here a few weeks ago, and I came up, or I found that again, and I thought, I wonder if I could fix that up with AI technology. So I call it my hit factory, my AI hit factory. So I put it in there, and I instructed AI what I kind of wanted it to sound like, and that's what it got. What it started with was just piano that I played.
Mm-hmm.
That's me playing the piano.
Mm-hmm.
But all the extra stuff is generated by AI, which just, it just, this AI stuff is blowing me away.
See, I really, A, I love your creativity. B, I think Les Paul would love what you're doing because AI is very controversial. A lot of people are saying it should not replace human performers, and I absolutely agree with that. But I love what you're doing. You're saying AI can help me get where I want to be with this particular song.
And I'm still creative.
I'm glad you said that because I totally agree with that, Steve. I would never take what I make with AI and sell it for profit. Unless, because I do own the rights to everything I create.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the deal. I own the rights to it. But I would never accept any profit for it unless it was played by a real artist with real instruments and they put their own take on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I don't know if you remember a guy, his name is Jude Cole. He had a hit back in the
80s
called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great hit. And Jude went to the same high school I went to, and we keep in touch. And I go back and forth with him with music and stuff. And he said he's been sitting on a stack of lyrics for about a decade, and he finally caved in and decided to try AI to see what it would do. And he says, "Oh my gosh!"
Hmm.
He says it resurrected these lyrics that I thought I would never use, and I'm going to put it on the next CD he puts out, or
that's
album.
Brilliant.
Or whatever you call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way to use it. You're not
that's
replacing.
The way to use it is right.
Yeah. The human element is not being replaced. The human element is being enhanced, and it's allowing you to stretch.
I view this kind of like, and again, I'll go back to Les Paul for the reference point. When Les invented multi-track recording, when he first started using reverb and slapback echo. This is all technology that enhances what you're trying to create.
Yes, yes, yeah, you're right. What I will always do in AI is I will write the lyrics. The words you hear came from me. I should have been born a rapper, you know?
Yes, or a poet.
I've never had any problems rhyming or putting a verse together or poetry. And I usually did it for schnicks, for fun, for a radio bit or whatever, but I've never had any problem doing that. So I enjoy writing a lot of words and making it come together with a rhyme or a reason. And then putting it together with AI, it's just, whoa, what a way to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes there's a learning curve to it. I mean, you could just do something real quick and it would be out there, but to get it the way you want it, it takes a little effort.
So what prompted you to stick your toe into the whole world of AI, especially musically? Because as I said, you have always been interested in technology. You've always kind of gravitated toward whatever the new tech is out there and wanted to learn it. But what pushed you musically into AI?
Well, you just put your finger on it. You said learn it. Now that I'm off the air and I got more time to do stuff, I have discovered that how much I love to learn. whether it's studying to get my ham radio license. That's not easy. That's tough. That's a tough bit to get. I studied my butt off for months, and I'm not a good test taker, but I passed. I had to take 3 tests. There's 700 questions. I only missed one.
Wow.
I studied hard. When COVID hit, I wanted to learn how to do watercolor better. I always dabbled with watercolor, but I never took it seriously. So I studied it hard. I learned it. I painted every day. I still paint every day. I wanted to be, and I still want to be, a certified broadcast meteorologist. Why? I don't know. But I love the weather.
Yeah.
So I study the weather all the time. It's the calculus that's holding me back. I'm kind of a dummy. And then I just, when AI came out, I just dove in head first. And it started with videos. It started with photography. It started with writing things. And then I thought, I want to learn how to do this with music. And it just blew me out of the saddle. I still have fun with it every day.
Well, we laugh because we remember the day when you said, I think I want to learn to paint. And sure enough, within a week, you were painting. Spike, we're going to ask you to hang in there. You know how this works. We have to take a break and get you up to date on news. And then we're going to come right back, keeping Spike Odell up a little bit late. And people are loving what they've heard so far. We got to read some of these texts to Spike.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN. And we're talking with Spike Odell. We're only going to keep Spike up for a few more minutes because it's past his bedtime now. But before we get back, we had so many people requesting this after we played it last week. Spike wrote this. Spike created it. He used AI to enhance it. And it's wonderful. A Spike Odell creation, older and wiser, so they say.
It always makes me smile. Then again, it makes me kind of, it tugs at my heart.
Spike, that is a hit record.
After I wrote that, I wasn't thinking of this when I did it, but I thought of that poem that Bob read the day he died.
Yep.
I didn't put the two together until after I'm doing the final edit on that song. Like, oh my gosh, that's kind of what Bobby did. Yeah.
Now, that's funny you should say that, because the first time I listened to it, that's the first thing that popped into my head. And I was wondering if that was what inspired you to do that.
Not at all. Not at all. But it did when I was finishing the whole thing up. Yeah. I just thought, wow, how ironic is that?
But Spike, I'm not kidding. That is a hit song. It really, really is. Now, I have to ask you, how did you, okay, so you wrote the song. How did you tell AI, okay, I want a little bit of harmony here, I want this there. How did you manipulate that to what we just heard?
That's the trick. It's manipulation. It's a series of commands. It's prompts. AI has a mind of its own. It's going to do what it wants to do. And then after it does it, you say, I don't like that. I want it to do this.
Yep.
And then you bend it this way, you bend it that way. And like that song that you just played, that probably took me, I mean, after I had written the words, it probably took me 8 hours to do.
That's all?
Yeah. I mean, to get it to where I liked it, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, after we played it last week, here's one of the names that came up a number of times. Kind of surprised me, but I think I can hear it. Could you imagine Dolly Parton singing that song?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. When a listener mentioned it, I went, wow. And then another one mentioned it, and I said, that's interesting. Because the first time I heard it, I was thinking, do you remember The Greatest American Hero? And the theme song was Believe It or Not by Joey Scarborough. Was Scarberry. Yeah. That's his sound. And a number of people said it needs to be a little older performer than the dude that's singing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I think
it kind of sounded like Randy Newman.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So a listener suggests that maybe Steve should do that song. Steve?
I think he should.
I would be honored to try.
I think you should try that. Yes.
But I would also
try it. I don't care who tries it. It's just fun to do.
But
I have a friend here in the, you know, everybody's in the music business here, and I have a friend here who manages a big conglomeration of country artists here, and one of his artists is Blake Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I wrote a song called Rednecks and Rockets. It's about a guy driving a truck, and he stops at a diner in Huntsville where they have all the rockets, you know?
Yeah.
And he's looking at this girl in the diner who he's got his eye on, and it's called Rednecks and Rockets and Girls with Tight Pockets.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
And he heard that, and he says, man, this has got Blake Shelton written all
it
over
it.
I don't know what's going to happen with it. I'll send it to you. I'll let you hear it.
Oh, that's too much.
Well also, and I can hear you saying no, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Why don't you sing it?
Yes.
You know what? I don't have the voice. Not that I ever had a voice. I just don't have a voice like I used to back in the day.
But that could work well.
I could sing a song back in the day a little bit, but I was never a professional vocalist, no.
But Spike, that could work really well with these lyrics on this song. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
It could.
All right, Spike, 630 area code, 219 area code, 847-708. Can we get it? Where can we get it? I got to get that song. I must have that song. Those were the texts that just came in.
And this is, it's mirroring the reaction we had last week. People love, this is a hit record you've got, Spike.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm thinking about doing is because everybody said, you know, why don't you share this? Because I just make them and just put them in the computer somewhere, and that's it, you know. But I'm thinking about putting up a YouTube channel.
Good.
And all that, so
yes,
people could go to that and get it, download it if they want.
Would you mind if we tried something? Okay. We have our former producer, Julian, is now our videographer. He is so good at doing video. Could we send him the MP3 of this and see if he could work some video magic, because he's really, really good, and just see what he would come up with, and then send it back to you, and if you approve it, then share it with the class.
Absolutely. I'll put it up on YouTube.
I would love to see a video with that. I'd probably cry my eyes out every time I looked at it, but I would love that. All right, Spike, can I share some of these texts with you? I'm going to go way back to the beginning, because they come in here fast and furious while we're on the air. All right, people responding to our theme song that you did for us. Great song. I love that song. Chesapeake, Virginia is listening tonight. So happy to be tuned in to hear Spike O'Dell. I remember Spike at the Naperville Church of Christ, and remember when he moved to Nashville. Please give Spike.
Who was that? What's the name there?
Just says a 309 area code.
Okay.
Yeah. This one says, this is a 319 area code. Please give our buddy Spike a shout out from the quads. We still miss him. Yes.
Yeah.
New Lennox checking in says, so good to hear Spike O'Dell, the ultimate student. Now, that's an interesting compliment.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
If you can, tell him that my daughter called on a year on his birthday, and he unloaded a bunch of potato chips on her. That was 37 years ago. Oh, my gosh. That's too funny. Okay, I'm going to roll through some more of these because they're great. Johnny and Steve and Spike, how awesome. I'm working tonight. I'm so glad I get to hear Spike. I like this song. I love that song. Now, this is the last song that we played. I didn't hear it last week. How can I get it? A couple of people say, we want Spike back on the radio. Wells Beach, Maine checking in saying, I'm listening on my Bose Wave radio. Great to hear Spike O'Dell. Could we get Steve and Spike to do a duet? Now, that's interesting.
That'd be fun.
And so, again, people are loving what you're doing, Spike. And
well,
we are, too.
To all you people who text and share that, I truly thank you. It's like I tell everybody, one thing I didn't really think I was going to, it would affect me as much after I left the radio was the people. After I was gone a while, it hit me like, man, I miss the folks.
Yeah.
I miss the people talking to them.
Yep.
Spike.
It's the connection you have with folks.
That
I know it sounds hokey to say this, but
Spike,
we were all just a big fan. family.
Spike, that's why we're here on Saturday nights.
That's one of the main reasons we came back.
They said, you want to come back? And we said, we're missing that part of our life. Spike, here's the listener, 630, said, Spike said he had an invention that would make him a gazillionaire. What was that invention?
My son is working on it as we speak.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will you tell us when it becomes a reality?
Oh, absolutely, I will, yeah.
You're not kidding.
I'll go to my yacht when this one comes in.
You and Lyle Dean, right?
Yeah.
The yacht Lyle Dean.
Now, we do have a lot of people that want to know, how can they hear you on ham radio?
Yes.
Well, that's a tough one because I'm on 80 meters a lot. If you're a ham operator, I'm on in about 7:30 Chicago time on 38. You can catch me there. They know what that is, 38.
Now, that's 7:30 a.m., right, Spike?
7:30 a.m., yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm there. I'm also at 3.816 at night a lot, about 6 o'clock Chicago time.
There
a lot. So if you're a ham, you know what I'm talking about, 80 meters right there. So.
Cool. All right, here's another question we get a lot. People want to know, you said earlier that you're still painting. You paint every day.
Every day.
Can they purchase your paintings?
I have sold so much of the paintings. It's kind of therapy. I love doing it, and every now and then a good one comes out, and I'll post it on Facebook, and somebody wants to know if they can buy it, and I'll sell it to them. I don't keep the money at all. I don't do it for the money, but I give it to a charity. It's a charity Karen and I support called Living Water Project. They build clean water wells overseas for countries that are drinking out of mud puddles, you know?
Right, right.
It's just a feel-good operation, and every penny goes to that. And we've given, several thousand dollars through those paintings to that charity, which is a feel-good thing for me.
Sure, sure. So when people see a painting on your Facebook page, if they like it, they can contact you, and the first one in that says, you know what, I'd like to make a donation to this charity and purchase this painting. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just
cool.
Send me a message. If you like what you see, I'll tell you what it costs, and if we agree, the deal's done.
Awesome.
I want to take you in a different direction just for a second. We've been talking, and we will be talking after the news, about some of the horrible storms that hit the south suburbs in Indiana. Nasty weather has been going on in Tennessee and around the Nashville area this year. You guys been okay?
Yeah. We had last month I had 14 and a half inches of rain.
Wow.
Now, we live up on a hilltop, so we're not going to get flooded.
Yeah.
But we did get the ice this winter. You know, every now and then Nashville gets an ice storm. We don't get much snow or ice, but we do. Every 2-3 years we will. And we got hit with a doozy last year. I lost 2 or 3 trees. I've got a lot of trees in the backyard. I got an acre and a half in the backyard, and 2 or 3 of them came down. So we finally got all that cleaned up, and we're back to normal a little bit, but we've had our share of weather. That's for
sure. It's just been a very, very weird decade.
You guys really been getting hammered up.
Yeah,
now Illinois is replacing Oklahoma as the tornado capital of the United States.
I believe that,
which is crazy. Yeah,
yeah.
Spike.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, a listener says, do you have a ham call sign?
I do. You're going to love this one. Ready?
Okay.
All right.
Whiskey 4, Whiskey Golf November.
What? Whiskey, the number 4?
Put the letters. Whiskey 4, Whiskey Golf November. W4,
I got it.
Oh.
Which
says that's very cool.
Work 4.
WGN. You're good.
I love it.
You know, I was assigned with KI4IHS, and I didn't like it, so I I applied to the SEC for what they call a vanity call.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said, oh, you ought to put something with WGN in there. You used to work there. I thought, okay, I'll try it. So I put that down, and I forgot about it. And about a month later, I get a letter from the FCC says, here's your new call sign, W4WGN.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Well, yeah. You are a cool dude. I'm so happy that we know you and we're still in contact. And I'm so tickled that you were willing to stay up late with us tonight.
I got to quickly share one final text with you from the 815 area code. Says, I have Spike's Cardinal painting on my cell phone to remember my loved ones.
Sweet.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I love to paint cardinals. I paint cardinals all the time. I've got my backyard is filled with them, and I love to paint them. And people find sentimental value in red cardinals.
Yeah.
So
sure,
they usually go pretty quick.
Absolutely,
Spike. I know we kept you past your bedtime. Thank you so much.
Big boy, I can do it.
All right. Well,
we owe you dinner.
Hug your honey for us too. Okay.
I will do. I love you guys.
Love you too.
Back at you.
I miss your faces. I miss seeing you at 5 o'clock in the morning when I can hardly keep my eyes open.
I know. Thank you, Spiker. Take care.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye. Bye-bye now.
Spike Odell, we'll take a break. More coming up on WGN. Man, it is always such a good time to talk to Spike. And if you didn't know by now, the guy you heard on the air was the guy we talked to off the air.
Yep. Absolutely. He hasn't changed, and that's a good thing. And it's just so exciting to hear him excited about the creative avenues that he has discovered. And we love our new theme song, and we'll keep you guys posted on how.
And we will still play Bob Young, but we're going to be integrating Spike's theme more, too. It's going to be kind of a back-and-forth thing.
And we will keep you posted, and we'll keep him pushed toward getting his own YouTube page so he can put this music up, and then you guys can grab it and keep it. And enjoy it at your leisure.
After the news, we're going to segue. We're going to be talking about some of the horrible, devastating storms that have impacted far too many people that are listening to us right now.
And many of them are still in the dark.
Yeah.
So text us if you are still without power, because we will talk all about that coming up after the news here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. This has been a horrible, horrible week for many people in the Midwest, from Indiana, Southern Illinois, just some devastating. In fact, Johnny and I were talking earlier this week, and I don't think it's exaggerating to say that for some parts of Indiana and Southern Illinois, this is as bad as Hurricane Michael was for the Panhandle.
Yeah. Easily. Ron has been reporting that over 50% of the people that live in Lake County, Indiana, are still without power. This all happened on Tuesday morning.
My brother in Munster is still without power. Fortunately, he has a generator.
Well, we've had a number of people text in tonight to say that they are in Munster without power. Highland, Indiana, Lupe texted in to say he's without power. Flossmoor, Homewood, some areas there still without power. And as you said, we're talking about the flooding down around Indianapolis. This is like
that's devastating.
This is history was made.
In fact, a little later tonight when we have Tom Appel on with us, one of the things, a very good question from Linda Sue, one of our longtime listeners, what about flooded cars? How do you deal with that? So we'll talk about that with Tom a little later tonight.
Well, speaking of our longtime listeners and we develop relationships with a lot of our listeners because they've been with us through thick and thin. And one of those people, we call her our graphics guru. She is Diane Vasquez. And anybody who follows us on Facebook, you see those fun little things that Diane, she creates for us. And I always like to give her a shout out. Well, Diane also posted in this past week about how her life was affected by the storms. And she's in Northwest Indiana in Merrillville. And Diane joins us right now. Diane, 24 hours ago, you got some really good news, right?
Yes, last night about 9 o'clock, we put our power on, and we were without it for 4 days. So
And it was especially, as I recall from some of your posts, it was especially challenging for you because something that people don't understand is if you have medication that has to be kept chilled, where do you get the ice? Right, Diane?
We used the ice from our ice maker, and then we couldn't find ice. My kids went all over. You couldn't go down the streets. Streets were blocked. Everything was closed, and everybody was fighting to get ice. It was like searching for gold. Early. And then they did finally, my son found some and brought it over, and we had to put it on ice because nobody had power. My kids in Illinois didn't have power. Mm-hmm. And I have a daughter. She lives about 10, 15 minutes from me. They don't have power yet in Maryville, and she's lost power for her business in Dyer. Mm. And they've been closed. It's 5 days for them now.
Yeah.
And a lot of the pharmacies where people would call to get medication, they were closed because they didn't have power.
Yes. Well, a friend of ours in Portage actually went to Michigan City to a pharmacy that was willing to fill her her prescription for her because she said, I can't. I can't go without it.
Yes. I heard that some people even had to go to the hospital.
Yeah,
because they couldn't get their medicines or they're on oxygen, you know. So yes, it's been really a challenge.
Yeah,
and I did finally get a hold of a pharmacist and asked him about the medicine, and he said just to keep it on ice and it would be okay for, I think he said 20 days or something. So yes, it's been really hard. And you know, I don't mind not being with the air or TV or any of that stuff, but it's a worry because we are elderly, you know, and it's been really difficult.
Yeah,
well, now you have power back. Do you have your Wi-Fi back, or are you?
Yes, that came on right away.
Really? Okay, so that's because I know you posted something that you got from NIPSCO on Thursday, and that's when they said in their statement, it looks like it'll be Tuesday next week. If not Tuesday, it'll be Friday of next week. And everybody went, what?
That was my daughter for her business and her. They're saying it would be Tuesday for maybe about 90%, and the rest won't be until Friday. Yeah. I don't know how anybody can make it, really.
Yeah.
And by the way, in my pea-sized opinion, the idiots who were shooting at NIPSCO people should be
Gary.
Caught and charged with treason.
Yeah,
that is
unbelievable.
You know, and it put the poor people because it made them stop going there to help them put the power back. They have stopped it, I heard.
Well,
they're not going back. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen with that. And I know a lot of people were talking about the National Guard coming in and, you know, our power should be on. They only came in to help clear the debris so that the linemen or the workers could get to the mines.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, that was a whole other thing.
And
you
believe
couldn't get into a hotel or anything. Everything, you know, they didn't have power, and whatever they had, all the people that came in to help, they were staying in the hotels.
Right.
So it just, you know, it was just a nightmare. And just not being able to drive down the street because the trees are blocked, you're just isolated.
Sure. Yeah. And
a lot of people couldn't get gas because the gas stations either don't have power or the lines are going down three blocks.
Yeah.
The lines, and they would run out of gas. And any food places that were open, you would have to stand in line, you know, like two blocks. And then if you got anywhere near there, they would say, well, sorry, we're closed. So it was just really hard, you know, hard to find food to get. I mean, we had some stuff, but that's another whole thing is the expense of throwing all your food away. And
Yes. You know, my heart really went out to the folks who were 2 weeks before hit by those horrible storms that rolled through. Power was out. They lost everything in their refrigerator. Yeah. When the power came back on, they went and refilled their refrigerators.
Over in Lansing.
And then 2 weeks later, it's out again, and they lost everything that they had just purchased.
It happened to my son in Homewood, too.
Really?
He just got his power back today.
Wow.
And they lost everything. The first time they had gone to Sam's Club and spent like $300 and boom, you know, that's
Again, Diane, you're in Maryville, but you said your daughter's also in Maryville, and she doesn't have power, but you do, and you're part of Maryville.
We're right on the, and we're kind of into Crown Point and Maryville, right there. And she's on the opposite. She's about, I'd say about 10, 15 minutes from us, and no, she doesn't have power.
I'm going to ask you if you'll just hang on for a bit. We're going to take a break. We're talking with one of our listeners, Diane Vasquez. I was in touch with her this past week as we were following the storms and the power outage and Steve's brother in Munster, Indiana, without power. And the fact that, you know, you think about going to a grocery store. Well, the grocery stores weren't open because they were without power. And fast food restaurants, if they opened up to get rid of the food that they had in the restaurants, they didn't have working cash registers. So there are a lot of things that we don't think about when we think about power going out. But when you start talking about it being out for days on end, then you become really, really aware of just how devastating this is, how your life just comes to a halt. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. You can text us if you're still dealing without power. We're getting a bunch of texts from folks. We'll work those into our conversation, too, here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking about some of the devastation from the storms of the past week, and we're getting some, a lot of people are texting.
Yes, this one comes from Jill and Dirk in Munster, Indiana. They say, we're sitting in the dark in Munster. Our family lost 15 trees on our 115-year-old family heritage property on Ridge Road. We are grieving, so many lovely trees gone, but we are unhurt and our friends and family are safe. Trees grow back, our hearts still hurt. Says thanks to all of the people, and this needs to be said over and over again, thanks to all of the people who are hauling away the debris. They are amazing, and they're working so hard since Tuesday.
And this from a 219 area code. Strax in Highland was giving out water and a bag of ice free, also free hot dogs and an apple.
Yeah, well, Strax, they announced yesterday that they had opened up because they had power. We were talking off the air about the fact that friends said, well, we thought about going to the movie where it would be cool and eat some popcorn and just get away from this for a while. Well, the movie theater was closed because they didn't have power. But our keeper of the big plug, our engineer, Bob Fakuda, is with us in the studio. Now, Bob, your daughter lives in Portage,
right?
And she's without power.
Yep.
So she and her husband live in an area that was really ravaged by this.
Well, yeah. My son-in-law was home.
Yeah.
And he said he was looking out, and he goes, oh, it looks ugly. And then he said, oh, the sky's green. Uh-oh. So he went out about 11 and started walking around the neighborhood asking his neighbors if they were okay. And he was walking around. He was watching. He said he went to the next block over, and some guy was already cutting up trees and trying to clear the road. And as he was headed back home, he passed the house that exploded.
Oh my gosh!
So he
heard that when that happened.
Yeah, he said it was loud. Yeah,
yeah, because people said for great distances around they felt it.
So he and another guy tried to get into the house.
Into the house that it exploded.
Yeah, he was looking for a way in, and they went in the backyard, and he found a place where he could try and tunnel in, and he was able to get into the house.
Oh, my God.
And he said there were two guys just standing there watching him, and he said, and then, you know, the fire was above his head, and he tried to get to the woman.
He actually heard a woman in the house.
Yeah, he could hear her.
Oh, boy.
And he wasn't able to get her, and then the flames got too much, so he and the other guy tried to fight with garden hoses, but that didn't work. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And she passed away.
Yeah.
I think her husband was home. He had gone to the doctor that morning.
He was at the doctor.
He was at the doctor when the house exploded. What a story.
And you were telling us that the fire department had to kind of chase them away because it was getting
too hot. Well, yeah, they're like, hey, that was a gas leak. You guys need to get away.
And then your son-in-law, Cody, started telling people in the neighborhood, we need to turn your gas off because this is really a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
And then what people then contacted him, he seemed to be the go-to guy after this.
He seemed to be the guy,
yeah. Yeah, they were like, wait a minute, he told us to turn off our gas. Now we need to turn our hot water heater on.
They asked a plumber, and the plumber said it would be $85 to relight their hot water heater.
Ooh.
What?
That Cody relit in about 5 minutes. So.
If it was 5 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, if it was even that, yeah.
Yeah, so, wow.
If you're gouging people at a time like this,
it'll come back to bite you.
Oh boy,
it will. Karma sucks. And You hear stories like that. Now, your kids are still without power. You've got their pets at your house.
I've got the dogs.
Now, you're in the south suburbs, but you didn't have this kind of problem.
It was south of us. So
wow.
So what are they hearing for when the power will be turned on in their area?
Well, he told me that Old Portage Road is closed because they're trying to restring power lines. And he said maybe they think they're part of the maybe Friday.
Next Friday.
But his sister lives south of them, and she has power. So
isn't that interesting, too? Like Merrillville, like Diane's case, one side of Merrillville. And apparently there's some people in Munster that do have power.
Yeah.
And then the other people are saying, well, wait, you need to come over Holman Avenue and get our power on.
On Facebook, and actually Facebook is a fairly good source. Just type in Village of Munster or Village of whatever. And they're posting some updates, and they did say that some of the, I want to say it's around Ridge Road and Calumet that does have power, but there are still areas just within a block of that that don't have power.
Yeah, yeah. A listener in Dyer, Indiana said, we're still in the dark. Makes you grateful for lights, electricity, air conditioning. Again, that's all those things that we take for granted until the power is gone. Like in Diane's case, suddenly you realize we need to have ice to put our medication on ice.
And by the way, for people, and sadly, there are some idiots on social media that will say, well, why didn't you blah, blah, blah,
why
blah,
why weren't you prepared?
Hang it on your nose.
That I cannot believe.
You're never prepared as you try to be. You're never completely prepared for this kind of catastrophe.
And honestly, we've said this before, with hurricanes in Florida, you hear about it sometimes weeks in advance. So it's up to you then to go out and get your water and get all of those things that you need so that you are, quote, prepared. But you, when a tornado flies through, I knew...
Tornadoes don't give you any warning. They're just bang, they're here.
Bob, were you at the station on Monday? Because I know on Monday there was talk about
that
there was going to be some bad weather on Tuesday.
Oh, there was, yeah.
But we didn't know it was going to be this bad.
It was so bad that the building turned the fire alarms, the strobe lights on, and people were like evacuating to the
Pedway.
We saw pictures of people down in the Pedway.
Right.
So did the station stay live during that?
Or were they simulcasting with Channel 9?
Yes, they were. But, Ryan Burrow was in the newsroom and, everybody else was there. And they said they watched the windows go like this, flex a little bit. But, there's double panes here.
But honestly,
I was in a studio which has double panes there, too, so...
But we had always been told that we talked to Tom Skilling about this over the years. You know, you're not going to get a tornado in downtown Chicago because of the high rises and such.
But recently, Tom has said, no, that has changed.
Well, everything has changed. We should not be the tornado capital of the country.
And yet we are.
You know, Oklahoma, that was understandable, but it's like, wow. So you said something. I'm going to bring Diane back into our conversation. Diane, off the air, Bob was saying that maybe you should have gone over to the casino. Did you know that the casino had their generators and everything was lit up and it looked like a Christmas tree out there?
Oh, I didn't know that, but I don't know. You know, it would be hard to get there. Even Route 30, part of 30, 41 was closed. I mean, the streets around, they're regular streets, just you couldn't get past them.
Yeah.
My son took, maybe it takes him 40 minutes to get to work. He took 2 hours.
Wow.
So it's just amazing. And then, talk about having things on ice. You have to replenish the ice because it's so hot, it melts so fast.
Yes.
Even though you have it in a cooler, you're still doing that. And people were in line. You couldn't find ice. People from Illinois were coming into Indiana to try to get food, ice, gas. And the people from Indiana were going to Illinois to try the same.
And
it was just crazy.
We talked with a friend of ours who is a limo driver, and she said she had to come to Illinois to get gas. There was no place in Indiana that she could get. And even there, people were backed up.
And one of her jobs is she takes people to their doctor's appointments. She said you couldn't believe the number of times when she would get a call and say, you know what? The doctors aren't answering the phone because they didn't have power. Yeah.
On Monday, I ran into a guy from St. John, and he was filling up his truck and his gas cans in South Holland because they had no power.
Now, 2 weeks ago on a Monday, did your area get hit by, because I know Lansing was really, really hit hard.
No.
2 weeks ago for
luckily,
that.
Luckily, no.
Because it was so sad to talk to people who'd just dealt with it 2 weeks before and then to have this roll through. And we're hearing from people now in the town of Munster. Apparently, a listener says, I live near 45th in Munster and we have power now. So again, it seems to be kind of like a patchwork quilt, a little here, a little there. Dyer, Indiana, still in the dark. We've heard from Flossmoor and Homewood. I think just parts of both of those areas are in the dark. So, Bob, your family says they think it'll probably be next week before they have power back.
They think.
Yeah.
But there are power lines down in their backyard.
That's the scary thing, too, because those power lines, if you step out on one of those, that could be the end for you.
And my brother likes to go for a walk every day, but he had to be careful because, again, power lines down, trees down.
Were down.
So you got to be careful how you're navigating.
And then when you get south in the state of Indiana and in southern, central and southern Illinois, the flooding is
horrible,
just
flooding.
Unbelievable. And you think about just, well, in some cases, right around Indianapolis, those homes are, they're gone. I mean, they're still sitting there underwater. Yep. You cannot imagine there's anything in those homes that is salvageable after almost a week of being underwater.
And by the way, this is not a commercial, but this is one of those times when you need something like the CC Radio Solar AM/FM that we've talked about, because it's powered by the sun and there's a wind-up crank. It's the perfect. You need to have, whether it's Sea Crane or whoever, you need to have some radio that allows you to power it by winding it up or by solar.
An emergency.
AM radio.
Thank you, Bob. This is a great ad for AM radio. And I'm not shy about that, folks. We're going to take a break and get you up to date on news. And we're going to continue talking. If you are without power, let us know. Let us know your story. You can do that at 312-981-7200.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're taking a few minutes and talking about the devastating storms that we've sadly been impacted by. But before we get to that.
Yes.
Johnny doesn't want to do this. I will do this.
Yes.
If you look at our Facebook page, you will see we posted a picture that we had been talking about with Spike Odell.
It's about 30 years old.
And along with that picture, the description of who is in the picture. Please. I'm really trying to hold back because when we look under the picture and see the comments of people saying, but who's in the picture? Read the damn description.
Who's the tall guy?
All listed.
Because I know how I feel when I see a picture and the people aren't identified. So I was very particular during a commercial break. I said, I got to get these names down there because people are going to wonder who that guy is in the back.
Pardon me for being haranguey, but I will be haranguey. Look at the... And this was a topic that we were going to talk about and we decided not to talk about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
People's attention spans. Pay attention before you ask a question. Look, see, is there something there that you should read? It has nothing to do with age, has everything to do with attention span.
This is true.
Harang, harang,
stop
harang.
Stop laughing, Bob. He's over there chuckling because I said during a break, what? You didn't see? I said, and I was stuttering and stammering and pointing at my phone.
And for those of you who think I sound upset, you should have heard Johnny off the air.
That's why Bob's laughing.
Bob, did I not temper it down significantly?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But what did I say, Johnny?
One
hand in the other.
Yes.
You got to think about it.
Yes. But you know, attention span is, I don't know about you, but I look on Facebook sometimes and I'm thinking, well, it's right there in front of you. The answer is there. And sometimes people want it just spoon-fed
to
them.
Well, not only that, but this is, and I know we're kind of jumping topics, but this lends to people being more upset about whatever it is, and they're complaining, why didn't blah, 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 blah? because you didn't take the time to read all of the information that was previously presented.
Okay. 312-981-7200. You hear all kinds of interesting stories. How about this one? Guy in Highland, Indiana. He said, I bought a gun from a guy at the gas station because the guy needed some cash. And he says, I keep cash in a safe for this very reason, which is not a bad idea to keep some cash money in case, you know, all the machines shut down and the bank is closed and such. He said, so the guy needed $100, so I got the gun for $100 at the gas station.
I would want to make sure that where that gun came from you
get... That's a whole different story, but the lesson there is it doesn't hurt to have some cash money handy.
Did he have oven mitts on?
Stop.
This text in from 630. Hi, guys. My daughter and son-in-law live in Portage. A huge tree came down on their roof, and about 20 trees are down on their property. They've sustained so much damage to their house. They're on Old Portage Road and are still without power. They have a small gas generator, but getting gas is a problem. My other daughter got a gas card.
A gas can.
A gas can, $43.63 in Orland Park, and got gas and drove out to Portage with it. The daughter who lives in Portage works in Couts, Indiana. She drove home and couldn't get to her house. She parked a mile away and walked through so many downed trees to get to her house. They weren't hurt, so something to be grateful for. Thanks for talking about all the folks out there. Bob, you're nodding your head.
Because Portage is where your daughter is.
Yeah. My daughter's on Hamilton's, and so that's just off of Old Portage Road.
Yeah.
And as my son-in-law said, it's pretty bad. Every tree around my daughter's house is down.
Every tree. I know you guys have seen the images. It's just something I've never seen in my life, where when a big old tree comes down and it takes the whole lawn, the whole lawn just curls up like it's sod.
Yep.
Because it's been there long enough and the roots are strong enough to pull everything up with it.
Or is it just the opposite? Are the roots so shallow that they, when the big old tree...
But they're strong.
It looks like... Well, again, I've never seen anything like that when a whole yard peels
back. And I don't
back.
Want to up close no, see anything like
no.
that.
And some people were saying, well, that's because when the trees were planted, they were planted in a way so that the roots didn't get deep enough. Well, we can Monday morning quarterback? I just keep thinking about the only time we've had a tree come down on our house in Florida.
We got so... lucky. This was after a tornado.
Not a hurricane, a tornado.
And literally, the ground was so wet, this tree in our front yard literally slowly tipped over and was, if you have a ring on your finger, that's the distance between our roof and the tree. It was that close.
And if it had given up its roots completely, it would have gone through the bedroom. But thankfully, and this was like a three-story pine tree. It was a big darn tree that was coming down. And the irony was the house has been through over a dozen hurricanes, never had a tree come down, but it took a tornado to bring this three-story tree down.
Again, because the ground was saturated.
Oh, Highland, Indiana, reporting no power. Chesterton, Indiana, still reporting no power. Speaking of price gouging, I guess this weekend is the end of the Sturgis motorcycle rally. Boy, did you see the hail in Sturgis? That was crazy. Can you imagine people were saying, that's why you need to wear a helmet, not for safety on your motorcycle, but for the hail that's going to come. This listener said from a 605 area code, I went there for the day, and that was way more than what I should have. Tacos, 3 for $25. Soft shells were $1 more each. A bottle of water was $9. If the price gouging continues, another location will step in and take over for that. Oh, man.
312-981-7200. That's the number that John called. John, you're on WGN.
I got a buddy of mine who's a trucker, and he was telling me, he must have been on 80 when he did this, and he drives a stone truck, and I guess the truck was empty in the back, but they were moving along, you know, like 65 miles an hour with everybody else, and he must have been in front of it, but as he got further away from it, he couldn't figure out why all the dashboard lights were lighting up on it, and the truck was slowing down, and it was hesitating, and he was pouring more power to it, and it still wasn't going. And he happened to look out the driver's side door, and the truck was going backwards. The tornado, the suction of it, had swung around. The truck was empty. This is a stone truck.
What?
But the back of the box was empty. And the winds must have caught that and was pulling him back. So what he did, he told me, he says he dumped it down in the lowest gears he could get it into it until the wheels could grab. And then they were able to grab, and he was able to pull out of there and make it. Now, another trucker is probably behind him, and another trucker is behind that. And he's running into the same problem, getting pulled back, these big 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
The truck behind the third one back there saw what was happening and all that and got up and got behind him and pushed him. Unfortunately, it busted up the front of the cab of the truck, but they were able to push everybody forward and to get out of the situation, because they would have been sucked right up into this thing.
Sure.
And he says, when I got out of there, cars just stopped on the road. People were in shock.
Yeah.
Now, I find out, I have my boat in Hammond Harbor, and I find out last night when this thing came through, a water spout was about 2 miles offshore in Hammond Harbor. That's close. It's really close.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing, when people say you'll never hit Chicago, oh, yes, it will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it'll go right down the Eisenhower. And the heat from the city, it produces so much heat and moisture, it's drawn right in. And the same thing going down to the Indiana because of all the corn belts that are out there.
Sure.
All the corn is being grown there, and that produces a lot of heat and a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
They head straight through it. And they just demolish it.
That is
crazy. And as we talked a couple weeks ago, corn sweat is a thing.
Yeah,
a
Max Armstrong was on with this explaining what corn sweat was and how that it's legitimately a thing that puts so much moisture in the air.
And you're in Hammond, and you talk about how close that was to you. My brother in Munster, we were able to get the trail of where the tornadoes went. They were literally about two or three blocks from my brother's house. Yeah. He got so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
These tornadoes were running pairs. Apparently, the one that went through Munster and on 80, there were two of them. I got a friend of mine that's in Lansing, and he says, and other friends of mine who said they looked out the window, we saw two of them, and they were running side by side.
Oh, my gosh.
But it missed us in Beverly in the city. We got real dark down here, and my cat started to kind of whine a little bit, and I told my brother, he says, when that cat starts whining, it starts getting low, we're headed for the basement.
Yeah.
And we were okay, but and it roared on by.
I clearly recall, this just came back to me, on Tuesday morning at 10:30, I stepped out to get the newspapers, and I stopped because the sky looked really funky. It looked really weird.
Yep.
And it was the first time in my life that I heard the sirens in Chicago blowing.
Yep.
They were not blowing in our community, but I could hear them in Chicago, and I thought, wow, I've lived in Chicago for 60-plus years, and I don't recall ever hearing the sirens blow.
Other than they used to test them on Tuesday
morning. On Tuesday, yes.
Yeah,
and so
they were doing that all over the place about 2 weeks ago to make sure that they worked.
Yes.
And they did.
Yeah, you know? Wow.
But it was so noisy over here in Beverly, you couldn't hear the sirens. Occasionally you hear something, and I said to my brother, the sirens are going. We got problems.
Because you mean you couldn't hear the sirens because of all the storm itself?
The noise. It was how it
was
down here. It was pitch black up at 111th and Western, and it was blowing so hard. The trees were moving left and right. We didn't lose our lights, but it was howling. I was waiting for a couple of trees around my place to go, but they were still standing. And then about 20 minutes later, it was gone. But it went southeast.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went down to check my boat had water on the canvases, and a lot of people, everybody was still floating.
It was still there.
Just one of the docks, I guess, broke loose down there, but they got that south.
Wow.
But it's just, if any place to be, I would like to have been in the Indiana Dunes, because the winds on the lake got to 110. Mm. It never gets that big.
No.
And it's going straight towards Michigan City.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got that kind of wind and that kind of waves, it's going to nail Michigan City and anything right along that way.
Yep.
Wow.
So, well, it was bad news.
It's not an exaggeration to say that we are living through things that people have never experienced before. Before we break, Interesting text, and I don't disagree with this at all, from a 708 area code. Shame on the Bears owners and front office. Days after the destructive storm, they had a press conference regarding leveraging a deal, with no mention of them giving anything for disaster relief in Illinois or Indiana.
It would have been the perfect opportunity, right?
And I don't disagree with that at all.
And the text goes on to say, on the positive side, our future son-in-law is a lineman for ComEd.
God bless him. By the way,
he said they've seen several crews gone over to Indiana to help out.
Yeah, I think the total is that I heard earlier, like 2,000 ComEd linemen are going to help NIPSCO. So
they help. Wow.
Good for them.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. You can text us at 312-981-7200 on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Before we get back to calls, a special shout out to Bill in Birmingham, who is listening to us the old-fashioned radio way on his AM radio, and he says we're coming in like a local. I believe it, because all the times that we used to drive down I-65 between here and Panama City Beach, at night, if we'd be going through Birmingham, it was just as if WGN was a local radio station.
Well,
the signal was that good.
What about the time we were walking through the mall in Panama City, and I laughed, and a woman turned around and said, "Are you Johnny Putman?" And I went, "Yes. How do I know you?" She says, "You don't know me, but I listen. I'm a transplant in Chicago, and I listen to the station every
and
night."
And she recognized Johnny's laugh.
And I was like, whoa, that's kind of, look, I got goosebumps, because that was one of those moments when I went, okay, do I say yes, I am, or do I say no, I'm not? I just look like her. It was a really weird moment. We are getting tons of texts and such from folks that are saying, please, please, please thank the people who are out there working tirelessly.
Yes.
Apparently some Boy Scout troops are out working, picking up debris.
God bless anybody who is doing what they can to try to overcome this horrible situation. And as I said earlier, Johnny and I were comparing this to what Hurricane Michael did to the Panhandle.
Yeah.
And the areas that have been devastated by this, these storms the past week, it is very similar.
And similar reaction with people just outside of the area, not realizing how this stops your whole life. Because people were saying, I don't have any cash money. I can't get anything.
Yeah.
Cash registers don't work. I can't use a credit card because the machines don't work. And Bob, you were telling us that you showed me a picture of stoplights that had spun.
Yep.
They're not.
It's on 45th, just west of Calumet.
Now, these are big metal traffic signals.
The entire four-way stop, none of the stoplights were where they were supposed to be.
They're now in a funky angle.
Yep, they had all shifted.
Isn't that amazing when you think about, have they said how the strongest wind that came through on Tuesday morning? I think I heard 110 miles an hour, but I'm thinking it has to be more powerful than that. Because I know 2 weeks ago they were saying it was an EF0, which to me, when you got 85 mile an hour winds, you at least need to be an EF1. And then they're saying that the tornadoes that had actually touched down, remember 2 weeks ago, the tornado that went through Lansing and turned around and came back.
And that's never happened before.
No. Again, another really freaky weather phenomenon that has never happened before. Again, if you just need to vent, you can vent at 312-981-7200. We felt that it was important to give folks a chance. Here we are, 5 days, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And for some people, the predictions are that they won't get power till what, next Friday?
Next Friday.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Greetings from Bart.
Oh, by the way.
What?
Can we give a, how do I want to phrase this? I'm thinking of the Speedway store?
That?
Turned people away?
Oh, that was a sad, sad story. Speedway store, a woman with her two kids in the car, she could tell that the storm was coming at them, pulled into Speedway, and it was the Speedway store.
But I'm trying to think of where it was. It was in Northwest Indiana.
She went inside the store, and they said, "You have to leave. We're closing the store." and her kids are crying, and a man comes running in the door from a house down the street, no shoes on, panicked because a tree had just come through his house. No, 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 you can't come in here. We've got to close the doors. And
shame on you.
But you know what? Those are the worker bees. And the law,
I don't care.
The rule said do this.
Worker bees are human beings and should act like human beings.
I agree. But I'm sure it goes through their mind, oh, if I leave these people in here, I'm going to lose my job. That's all I can figure.
Or, A, maybe you can help another human, and possibly subsection B, you might get some positive publicity.
Yeah.
Instead of us going on the air and saying, shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Greetings from Barcelona. I just woke up from my early flight pickup at 6:45 a.m. I guess there were some really bad storms this week while I was on the Steve Bertrand eclipse trip.
Yeah.
That must have been an awesome trip. But how weird if you go away on vacation and you come back and you can't even get down your street.
Yeah.
Because of the power outage and the trees that are down and the wires that are down. And what scares me about flooding is we have a very good friend who, unbeknownst to him, had an open wound on his arm, and he was working in flooded waters.
Yep.
And he almost lost that arm because by the time he got...
Was it the MRSA virus he got? And he had to have a...
Well, eventually went to his heart.
It went to his heart, and they had this kind of vest that they put on him.
And they put his heart in the vest.
Yeah. Literally.
So that they could kill the bug in his body.
I believe it was up at, what, Highland Park
Hospital? It was a Highland Park Hospital,
yes. They were able to save his life.
Yes, and that was our buddy Bob Young.
Yeah.
And he said, I remember he said, tell people this story. Do not go wandering into flooded water because you don't know what's in that water. And that's what he did, and he picked up the bacteria there.
Well, was it... Oh, it was after some storm, and we were talking with Spike. He's on the phone, and he was about to go down to his basement into the flooded water. We said, not step down there.
Don't go in your basement. Yes. Wow. Okay, you guys. We've got a guest coming up after 11, but we've got time tonight. We're going to come back, revisit this, because there are a lot of folks
We're going to table this for the moment, but feel free to text us, and we'll get back to this, because I mean, this is...
Yeah, you just need to talk about it, and you're not alone, and we like to think that you come to us for some comfort, for what little we can give you at this distance, but we can just tell you that we know you're out there, and this is really, really tough.
And we care about it.
Yeah.
And we care about you. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the Cubs and waiting till next year and that frustration and a whole lot more. But now the news is next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, the Cubs didn't win today, but...
There's always a but. There's always tomorrow. There's always next week. There's always next year.
And there is a new book that I think you can relate to. It is titled, I Can't Wait Until Next Year, The Agony of Being a Cubs Fan.
With a special section on the Chicago White Sox. It is a book written by our guest, Neil Samors. And Neil is about one of the busiest writers in town. How are you doing tonight, Neil?
Very good, Johnny. Good to talk to you.
Is this like your 39th or 40th book?
40th.
Holy smokes! And you have really concentrated on Chicago, right? All things that make up Chicago.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them are concentrated on Chicago, yes.
That is amazing. Well, congratulations on this one. You, born and raised a Cubs fan, right?
Correct.
Going back to the early 50s.
1952.
Uh-huh.
And the book comes out just ahead of... the Cubs Sox Crosstown Series.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, your grandparents were Sox fans, though, right?
My grandparents lived on the South Side in South Shore, and they were Sox fans. But my father was a Cub fan, and that's how I became a Cub fan.
But you were on the North Side, so that was understandable. See, we're in a mixed marriage.
We lived in Rogers Park.
Yeah, mixed marriage.
It's a mixed marriage.
I'm a North Side, Steve South Side.
So. But I have converted her into a Sox fan.
Yes. Tell us about the title of the book. I Can't Wait Until Next Year: The Agony of Being a Cubs Fan. Because you can take it two ways, right?
That's been taken two ways. And remember that there's a very famous book by Dorothy, the historian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doris Kearns Goodwin wrote a book called Wait Until Next Year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I grew up, as a Cub fan, I grew up with this statement every August, September, wait until next year.
Mm-hmm.
So my co-author and lifelong friend and lifelong Cub fan, Eric Shinen, and I said, how about I can't wait until next year? And you can take that both ways.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your goal in putting together the book? Because you talked to a number of people that had some real insights into their passion about the Cubs.
I was thinking that this is sort of my field of dreams. Because one of the key things that I remember growing up was that my father and I would stand outside our apartment building and I'd always say, Dad, you want to go play catch?
Oh.
And it's almost like the line out of the film
there. Yeah. Wow. So when you said about writing the book, you knew that you were going to talk to Cub fans.
And by the way, thank you for putting in a whole section on the Chicago White Sox, the Cubs' crosstown rivals.
So how did that come about when your goal was to, you know, talk to fans that are passionate about their Cubs? How was it that you snuck in the White Sox? And I love the chapters that you did on the White Sox.
Because over the years, I had the pleasure of interviewing Billy Pierce, Jim Landis, and Mary Frances Vick.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to have them in this book, and so that's why I had a whole section on the Sox, especially focused on the Sox during the 1950s and then ending in 59 when they won the pennant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was sort of the basis, and then I made certain to put in other things about the Sox winning the World Series in 2005 and having at least a recognition about two teams. And also just remembering, in the 1950s, if people remember, the highlight of the year was when the Yankees would come to town and there would be this weekend series with the Yankees and the White Sox. And so that's very important to remember all that.
You're right.
But now I think for both teams and both managers, I think were quoted over the past couple months as saying, anytime the Cubs and Sox play, it has a World Series vibe to it.
Correct.
It is that level of excitement.
It always did. And again, one of my fondest memories, of course, was going to Comiskey Park and seeing the White Sox play. And most Chicago fans during the 50s focused in on the White Sox more so than the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, tonight marks the 88th anniversary of the first night game at Comiskey. And they beat the Cubs
1988.
To having the lights come on. Last week was the anniversary of the Cubs lights game, and mm-hmm. This week is the anniversary of the Sox. Neil, we're going to take a quick break. I want to tell everybody your book is available on Amazon. They can get a look at it on Amazon. I can't wait until next year, The Agony of Being a Cubs Fan. Neil's last name is spelled Samors. If you want to look him up, you will see the 40 books that he has authored, all of them Chicago-centric books. Just absolutely amazing. We'll come right back with our guest, Neil Samors, after this on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I'm smiling. I love hearing that. I haven't heard it since we first started playing that in 1987, and that is actually the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm. Sounds a little bit like Barbara Ann, right?
You think? And we're talking about a wonderful book, I Can't Wait Till Next Year, The Agony of Being a Cubs Fan, by Neil Samors. Neil, one of the things I love about your books is the interviews, and every time I'm looking through one of your books, I come across an interview, and I say, whoa, how cool is that? In this case, there are a number of them, but one of them, Andy Pafko, the Cubs outfielder and infielder. How did you get that interview? It's so cool.
I called him up and went to his house, and we sat down and talked. One of the great things about Andy Pafko, when he was on the 1945 Cubs World Series team, and in the early 50s, he was playing with the Cubs, and he was a star player, third baseman, left fielder. And in the middle of a doubleheader, he gets a call and told, by the way, you've been traded to the Dodgers.
Mm.
And the Cubs were playing the Dodgers that day. And in the beginning of the second game, Pafko had to take all his stuff and walk across the field and go into the Dodgers clubhouse.
That's just crazy.
Broke his heart. Now, Andy Pafko, you should know, played in three World Series. He was with the Braves, he was with the Dodgers, he was with the Cubs. But he also, by the way, in 1950, Andy Pafko was the left fielder for the Dodgers when Bobby Thompson hit the home run. And it was just a fascinating kind of thing that he was a part of history across three different teams.
Well, was that a pinch me moment for you when you got to actually sit and talk with him?
Well, it was just the wonderful thing. Just like talking to him was about as exciting for me, by the way, as going to Billy Pierce's house and sitting down and talking to him twice when he was just sat and talked about being with the White Sox in the 50s, coming over from the Detroit Tigers. And then he said, "I really didn't want to come to Chicago because that place stunk from the stockyards, and I didn't want to play there during the summer. But then it got better, and then Billy Pierce turned out to be just like Whitey Ford. He was one of the two greatest pitchers in American League Baseball during the 50s, and it was just wonderful talking to him."
Am I wrong, or my sense of it is that most players who get to play in Chicago feel there, after they're here for a while, feel there is something unique, something really special about the teams in this town?
Not only the teams, it's the fans.
The fans.
And you know how the fans are today. But and even in the rough years in the 50s when the Cubs were struggling and the Sox had a good period of time, it was the fans that really drove these people to the ballpark. And a lot of the Cub players and White Sox players would take public transportation, and they'd ride with the fans, but even leaving the ballpark. So they were part of the city. They were part of the city, and they're part of the fandom.
Do you actually remember the first game that your dad took you to, the first Cubs game?
I remember, and this is in 1952, what I remember most is going into Wrigley Field, and you walk up the stairs to your seats, and there's this green field, and there's the ivy, and there's and even today, there's a magical feeling about going into Wrigley Field and being a part of it. And I felt that my entire life, going every time I go to Wrigley Field.
Well, what you just said reminds me of a man that we had the great pleasure to work with, and I'm so happy you included him in your book, Jack Rosenberg. What a great history that man! Yeah. So you had a chance to talk with Jack?
Jack was everything to me.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I used to go to his house all the time, and that's where I got a lot of my photos, and he would talk about brick cut, because he would sit there. People would hear a typewriter going out in the background on WGN, and that was Rosenberg typing up stuff for Brickhouse during the game. Jack was a tremendous influence.
Am I correct? Did Jack Rosenberg write the speech that Brickhouse gave for the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely. And he helped him write his autobiography too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Jack was tremendously influential. And Jack was also very, very close with Ernie Banks. Mm-hmm. And he just loved Ernie, and they got along, because they were so very close.
Well, the interesting thing is, when we were working with Jack, and I was always tickled when we would run into him in the parking lot, because he was always so...
Or at the Outback in Skokie.
Oh, yes, or at the Walgreens.
Yes.
Yeah. He was just always so accessible, you know, just so willing to talk. And I remember we were at the Outback, and they said, your meal has been paid for by that man over in that booth. And we said, oh, that's Jack Rosenberg. Oh, my gosh. And yet, come to find out over the years just how important he was in the booth for the Cubs games. It was like he really, really kind of directed everything that was being heard on the air, which is amazing. And so humble about it, too.
And accessible. He loved people. Jack loved to talk to people.
Yeah.
And years later, you can go to any restaurant, you see Jack, and he would always be extremely friendly.
Did I recently read that at Elle Woods' restaurant that there is actually a table with a plaque or something for him?
No, I'll tell you how true it is. I used to have lunch with him right there.
Really?
Sitting at his table with the picture behind him. And Jack would always say, let's go over to Elle Woods and have lunch, because that's my table and they know me there.
That's so cool.
He was wonderful.
Yeah. I've got to compliment you on, and this is not my aging eyes, I just love the font you chose to use for your book. What was
Yeah, my designer was very smart on that. He made the font large enough for us older people.
I don't have to use my readers. I can open your book and read it. And once again, much like your corned beef book, you've got a chock full of these great old pictures. That in itself must have been a big undertaking, just going through the pictures, organizing, deciding what goes in, what stays out. How long did it actually take you and Eric to put the book together?
You won't believe it's 3 months.
You're kidding.
Whoa.
I put the whole thing together within 3 months.
Whoa.
I'm not.
And my designer looked around and found a lot of these photographs, and I'd had a lot of these photographs from before, and I had these interviews, and so we were able to put this together very quickly, and it was a task of pleasure, what it was.
Yeah.
I'm amazed to hear you say that it only took 3 months, because this is a book that belongs in any Cubs fans collection. Yes. You're going to learn stuff. You're going to smile. It's a really well done book.
And in fact,
thank you.
Give your designer a shout out, because you've worked with him for quite some time, and he made your corned beef book look beautiful. This one also, I love the pinstriping on the cover of the book. I love the lettering, everything about it. What is his name?
His name is Sam Silvio. And I've been working with Sam since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we did our first book. So he's done, I would say, 95% of my books.
Wait a minute. 2005?
And so he's wonderful.
This means in 21 years you've done 40 books?
Yes, ma'am.
That kind of takes
my nothing better to do.
It takes my breath away.
We're not worthy.
Really?
Sure.
So this book...
Yes, you were.
You really started on this book on the heels of the corned beef book then, right?
On the heels and on the toes, and as soon as... Before I even got out the door, I was already thinking about this one.
Okay. While we've got you on the radio, it's late at night. What's the next topic going to be? Because you've done the rivers, you've done the waterways, you've done the high rises, you've done Lakeshore Drive. What's next?
Well, the funny thing is, the person who wrote the introduction to this book is the former president of the Chicago History Museum, Gary Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the fifth book which he's written an introduction for the book for me. And he and I have always talked about, we got to do a book about introductions. And so he and I are having discussions about something about Chicago history, but looking at all the introductions he's written and all his historical knowledge. So that's what we want to do next.
Oh, that's a different and brilliant idea. Because I remember when we wrote our book, the introduction was one of the hardest parts about the book.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, what's the direction you take? And to have someone like Gary just step in there and not only make it interesting, but, have little tidbits of history, that's pretty impressive. So that would be the next topic that you will tackle in a book.
And I also should mention the person who wrote the foreword for this is a guy named Dave Shinen, who's mm-hmm. the son of my co-author, Eric. Dave is a former sports writer for the Washington Post, mm-hmm. and he's written a really nice foreword on this. It captures about how his mother, his grandmother, Eric's mother, was a great, great Cub fan. So he incorporates that into the book, too.
But one of the many fun things about this book is that you will learn things. For example, I did not know, and we have talked with Jesse White, the former Illinois Secretary of State. I didn't know he played for the Cubs.
I didn't know it either until I read your book. Yeah.
You want to explain a little bit of that?
Well, he got drafted by them, and he came up into their minor league system, and so he I don't know if he made it to the majors, but he played, and he came out of the military, and he played for the Cub organization for several years, and so I, again, talking to Jesse was a pleasure in itself, and I wanted to include that one in the book because it really captures it, and it's you think about this whole thing about the agony of being a Cub fan. And you start playing over the years from 45 until 2016, how many times the Cubs came close. And we knew they were going to win it in 69 and in 84 and 2003. And then some strange little thing happened, like the goat.
Legendary goat, yes.
Is there any team...
The goat or the Bartman ball.
Yeah, oh golly.
Is there any baseball team that has as many superstitions associated with them or
legends,
unique events that the Cubs do?
No, I don't think so. The Cubs have worked hard at this.
No, yes.
They worked hard to find. I mean, how many teams can work that hard that the ball goes under Durham's leg in 1984?
Yes.
Or that Bartman reaches out and grabs the ball in 2003? Yes. Or that the Mets come along in 1969? I mean, you have to work hard to have those things happen.
And we were at the Bartman ball game.
We really were.
And we had to come on the radio that night after that game.
We almost didn't make it because of the traffic jam. Yes. Getting out of the Wrigley Field.
But I got to tell you, Neil, when I opened your book and there was his picture, my first thought was, oh, bless his heart. Oh, yeah. Poor Steve. But he had to be included.
Why did you reach over the railing, Steve?
Yes. Well, you had to include him, though, because that's part of the wonderful legend and history of the Cubs and the fans.
The blatant plug light is flashing, so if people want to get the book, where do they go? What do they do?
It's all you have to do is go to Amazon.com, put in my name or put in the name of the book, and it's a print on demand, which means they'll print it in soft cover or hardcover, whichever one you order, and you can get it pretty quickly from Amazon.com. Simple as that.
I can't wait until next year, The Agony of Being a Cubs Fan. Great gift idea. Perfect timing on that. You done good once again, Neil. Thank you.
Thank you once again.
Thank you so much for your books and for, you know, plugging away and bringing parts of Chicago history to us that, well, if it weren't for your books, we wouldn't know about these things. So thanks.
Johnny, can I mention quickly that we're doing book signings.
Oh, yes. Sure.
At Manny's Deli on September 26th from noon to 2 p.m. and at Max and Benny's on October 26th at 7 p.m. So I'll be there and make a presentation, sign books, and hopefully meet a lot of Cub fans and
okay.
Sox fans.
And I tell you what, when we get into September, we'll have you on for a few minutes just to remind people about those signings.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks.
Always my pleasure.
Thank you so much, Neil. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Neil.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
More coming up. News is next at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Shout it out loud, and that's just what we're going to do. Some shout-outs to people online, in the air, everywhere, who are nice enough to hang out with us. And I want to start with some of the people who are checking out our blog. And if you haven't checked our blog, it's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love it if you would subscribe. There is no fee. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information.
Nope. It's just the both of us.
And you will just get an email anytime we do a new post. And we like to check out. We're amazed at some of the people from all over the planet that check us out. So the top 10 countries checking out our blog this week. First of all, the United States. Good to hear that we're being heard in the United States.
I'm always relieved.
Second is China.
That blows me away. I'm like, China's coming in number two this week.
Third, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, Singapore. Fifth, Hong Kong, SAR, China. Sixth, Canada. Seventh, United Kingdom. Eighth, Sweden. 9, Australia, and Australia, and 10 is Belgium.
Oh, those are two new. Australia and Belgium.
I think Australia may have been there before.
Well, that's cool, though.
And a couple people posting on our blog. Linda Sue wanted to know, will Tom the Car Guru talk about what to do with a flooded car? Yeah, we're going to talk to Tom about that. And... let's see. Debbie 26 sounds like a great show tonight. We're having 3 grandkids over tonight, but if I miss some of the show, I know I can re-listen to it, which I love. Prayers for Indiana and everyone that got hit by the storms. And from Key West, Florida, the Blake House. The Blake household, a group of Chicagoans meet every Saturday night for poker, barbecue, and marinate ice cubes in bourbon and enjoying a Cuban cigar while listening to WGN on our CC Wi-Fi internet radio.
I love marinate ice cubes in some bourbon. That's a brilliant way of putting it.
And let's see, Robin Aiken, Steve and Johnny, wow, another great show tonight, listening from Port Charlotte, Florida, via the cell phone. And you can listen via the WGN app on your cell phone.
As a whole bunch of people do, because we've got 17 states that check in tonight. I'm going to roll through some of these. But this guy gets in here first every week. That's our buddy George Clemens in Augusta, Georgia. Bob is wishing Sherry a happy birthday tonight in Arlington Heights. Bing Besh checks in from Winfield. The Minks are in Chesapeake, Virginia. Gail Maslin is in Lake City, Michigan. Dan Lewandowski is a Norwich native who's tuned in. Mike is in Gahanna, Ohio, and he texted in last hour when we were talking about the storms last week and said tonight their sirens are going off in Gahanna, Ohio, and they've got some very, very bad weather there.
Oh, boy.
Bill, we mentioned Bill, our very own Bill here at the radio station, listening the old-fashioned way on the radio in Birmingham, Alabama. Jim G. is in Koshkonong Township. Also tonight, Officer Dennis checks in, and he had something interesting to say as we were talking about the storms. He says, I've been out of power, also in Merrillville, since Tuesday, always trying to keep positive thoughts for me and my neighbors. Now, again, we've talked to him before. He works at a prison, and he says our low-level nonviolent offenders were out in Lake County, Indiana, especially in Munster and Griffith, helping clear the area and assisting as well.
Well, thank you very much.
A great way, instead of them just sitting there, let them be put to work. And we mentioned, too, that some Boy Scout troops were out there also working on the cleanup. Eric Baum checks in from Wells Beach, Maine, and has a beautiful picture of piping plovers. They are an endangered and protected bird. They look so cute and so fuzzy. And
what are the two piping plovers that we see on the lakefront here?
Yeah, on the lakefront, on the north side, up around Montrose, Lynn Kinzer's listing in San Antonio, Florida. Marie Weiss is in Plainfield. So many people were tickled to hear Spike's voice tonight.
Yeah, as were we, too. And for some of the people that are asking, yes, probably out of the 1 o'clock news, we will replay the rockin' theme that Spike came up with for us.
The funny thing is, when I first spoke to Spike and I said, look, you have to join us and talk about not only the song that we played last week, but this new theme song that you did for us. Well, no one wants to hear old Spike. Oh my gosh, man, get over it. These people they're begging you to come back. The text and the post on our Facebook page, on his page, or come on, Spike, come back once a month at least. We love hearing your voice.
And I think, as I said before in different words, Spike is the real deal.
Yep.
And that's why people love to hear him.
Well, Peter Jacobowitz, one of our listeners, says Spike is such a multi-talented person. He really rocks. And this is true. Donna Youngheim is tuned in from Oak Lawn. She says, it's lovely, dry Oak Lawn, praying for my friends in Indiana. Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. A number of our listeners from Florida said, boy, listening to us talk about the storms, relating it to hurricanes, they said the difference is we always know a hurricane is coming.
Yep.
It doesn't sneak up on you. You're not going about your business and all of a sudden your world stops because a tornado has come through. Beverly Goodall
decides to come back.
Yeah. Beverly Goodall checks in. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory tonight. Our buddy Chuck Snitchler's in Valpo. And we were so worried about Chuck. And thankfully,
Chuck posted that Valpo has their power lines underground. So they weren't really impacted by this. They were, but not really in terms of losing power.
A number of people have said, why can't we have our power lines underground?
Yeah.
One of the positive things that happened in our part of Florida was after Hurricane Michael. They said, you know what? we're going to do something to get cables underground so that we don't have to be cut off from the rest of the world the way we were during that hurricane.
And they have to really jump through some different hoops because of the ground there is softer.
It's sand, yeah.
So they need to plan a little different strategy for putting things underground.
But at least the aftermath of that devastation was something positive came of it. They said, we're going to do something mm-hmm. so that we don't have to experience this again. It's not going to happen overnight. We know that. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Our buddy Bobby Danos is out there in Sammich with Debbie Tusick. Well, not with Debbie, but they know each other. I met Debbie. Well, never mind.
They're just friends,
they're
really.
They're just friends.
Wink,
yes.
Wink.
Diane Vasquez, we talked to Diane when we were talking about the storms. She's our graphics guru. She did a lovely one for today. Every time you see those cute graphics that are put up, she is the creative one that puts those together for us.
And those are on our Facebook page.
Yes. Jean Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Terry Brock is in Coral Gables, Florida. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Go White Sox. They're looking
yeah.
good. They look good yesterday and today. It was very exciting. My money is on the Sox against the Cubs.
And they've won 5 out of the last 7.
And I'm telling you, when I say my money's on the Sox against the Cubs, I mean literally, I got money on the Sox.
Yep.
Steve doesn't even know about it. It comes out of my little kitty of my betting money. It's money that I won the last time the
yes.
Sox played the Cubs. Yes. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Oh, this is a new one. Pat Piascowie. Forgive me, Pat. Piascowie. I think I'm doing that. She says, I'm already giddy with excitement because Spike is going to be on the air. Well, I hope you were tuned in the 9 o'clock hour. Kim Keller in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Matt Palmer is listening. You know what? I should make a copy of all of these Spike-loving
yeah.
texts and posts.
And send them to him.
And say, look, remember last week when you said, nobody wants to hear old Spike? Yeah, they do. Christine Failing is in Plainfield. Loves Spike. Excited to hear his voice again. Tony DeMola is listening. George Maustis is in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week. Linda Daniels is in Hazelcrest. Holly Lickman in Highland Park. Sharon Malone in K-Town. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Penny Schick is in Tavares, Florida. Joan Bloom is in Greenville, South Carolina. Jim Smith in Chicago. Thank goodness we got Chicago represented. Ann Hills in Peoria. Margo Moore in Albuquerque. Jean Eichensier. We don't know where Jean is listening. Christian Moberg is in Mequon, Wisconsin. Mequon. Mark Schroeder is in Neenah, Wisconsin. Lloyd Moncrief is in Ottawa. Chuck Gorsuch is in West Burlington, Iowa. Patty Barron is in listening on her Alexa in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Jeffrey Welshens in Elkins, West Virginia. Roy Phillips tuned in. Susan Lind is in Princeton, Illinois. Michelle Fairfield in Peoria, Illinois. Susie Schimmel is in Glen Ellen. Larry Mann is in Miami. Carrie Hunt is in Ruskin, Florida. Judy Graham tuned in. Susan Altman, she said, I'll be getting ready and going to the airport. She checked in via text tonight because she was on a Steve Bertrand trip. Chuck Shearing is in Huntley, Illinois. Mary Prudence is in Evergreen Park. And she puts up a great picture. Did you see this picture of Jean Harlow?
I was just looking at that.
He's sitting in front of this big old console radio tuning it
in. It's a great picture.
It is. Thank you for that, Maria. I love it. I'm going to have to save that. Rich DeLuca tuned in. Penny Schick in Tavares, Florida. Todd Moe is in Door County. God's Country. Egg Harbor. We'll never forget that. Mike Fiegel is in Akron. And Go Cubs. Susie Schimmel, I think I mentioned her. Elizabeth Holland is in Naperville. And if I didn't get you this week, I will try to get you next week. But this week we got a whole bunch of Spike loving texts and a whole bunch of storm texts. And so if your name got lost in all of that stuff that was coming in over the past few hours, I'll get you next week. I promise. We'll be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. By the way, I want to mention one thing. We had a conversation yesterday with Terry Straker, the owner of Guitar Works. And we talked last week about Guitar Works and how sadly they're having to go out of business. Thank you to those of you who are listening. responded. Apparently, Terry was just blown away by the number of people who called, went in. He said every day, because he was there for about a week, and he said he couldn't believe the people that were coming in and sharing memories and buying some great instruments at great prices.
He said, thank goodness his wife Megan was with him because she got work done. He said he got very little work done because he wanted to talk to people that he'd got to meet and to know over the years who'd come in to buy their instruments and take their lessons and such. And he said it was amazing. I mean, it was just every single day, so many people came and said, I just had to come say hi and bye, and I'm sad.
And is it this coming Tuesday that I think Channel 32 is going to be doing a feature on him?
Yeah.
And Terry's going to be back in the area in a few weeks. Yeah, he's going to be staying with us for a few weeks as he's wrapping some things up at the Guitar Works. But again, thank you. For those of you who listened and sent nice notes and went up to Guitar Works and the Guitar Works website, we're working through some things with Terry to try and make sure that the website is still around in a different form, but you'll be able to share stories and some things. And and speaking of websites, we're very excited because it's going to be in probably in about a month that we'll be unveiling our new website.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to us and you've heard Jack and Jen from Florida, Sandy Marlisa, who is the Jen part of Jack and Jen, she is extraordinary when it comes to website development, and she's working with us, and we're just going through some things with her today. We're so excited about what our new website will be, and we'll be sharing that with you in a few weeks.
She's kind of like a female Spike.
Yes.
She says, I'm going to do this, and she does it, and I'm going to do that, and she does it. And she doesn't just do it. She does it really well, whether it's music or it's teaching or it's writing books or it's speaking and doing websites. I mean, it blows me away, the way she's handled this whole web design thing, because she's incredibly creative. So like you, I'm very excited about it. A little piece of unfinished business. A listener says, who was the author Steve and Johnny were talking to tonight that wrote a new book about the Cubs? And that was Neil Samors, S-A-M-O-R-S. And Neil is N-E-A-L. Neil Samors, S-A-M-O-R-S. If you put that into the Amazon search bar, you will find dozens of books by Neil, all Chicago-centric books.
Literally dozens of books.
But his newest book is I Can't Wait Until Next Year, The Agony of Being a Cubs Fan, with a special section on the Chicago White Sox. And he does, as a diehard Cubs fan, he does the White Sox well in the book.
And again, I can't help but smile when I read some of that. Like when I came across the Andy Pafko thing, I thought, how cool is that?
And that's how I felt when I read the Jack Rosenberg. Yeah. Because he was such a sweet man. Oh, and then as I'm reading it, I thought, dang, we had the opportunity to pick his brains about all this stuff. And I always felt like, you know, that was work and we're just going to be buddies and, you know, we're talking in the parking lot. And in retrospect, I think we missed an opportunity to really, you know, get him on the radio and get him to tell these great stories behind the scenes.
We just didn't want to get him to put on his business hat.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just fun to hang out with him.
Well, I think I ran into him in Walgreens one time. And I recognized him. And immediately when I said, Jack Rosenberg, he goes, oh, what, Johnny? And I was like, he remembered me.
And we ran into him at the Outback in Skokie a couple times.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, the one time we didn't even know he was there. And suddenly our meal had been paid for.
Yep.
What?
Yep. So I was really happy that he got a chapter in Neil's book. So it's Neil Samors, S-A-M-O-R-S. Look him up. And again, he has literally written 40 books. This is number 40, and that's in 21 years.
We're not worthy.
I know.
And we're working on our second book.
It's taken us about, 10 years to get this far along. Because I keep saying, I'm doing a Spike. I don't think anyone wants to hear that story. And you say, okay, try it out. And I'll tell someone this story. And they go, oh, that should be in a book.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe so. So it's been fun. It's been kind of cathartic working on the book, too.
But one of the problems is finding old pictures, because we've got so many pictures that were taken pre-digital anything.
Yeah.
And we have files and files of things that we're going through.
And slides. Yeah, we were people who did slides back in the day.
And I still say my favorite method of the best pictures I ever took were on a Canon AE-1 using slide film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, did they come out great.
Yeah,
I have to agree with you. Was so warm, and that's my favorite form of photography.
But it was hard to share those pictures. That's what I love about my phone cameras. I can just say, here, you want to see my flowers? And then I've got folders of flowers.
Yes, you do.
And after you've seen the second or third folder, you're like, okay, that's enough. Yeah. I've seen enough.
We are going to segue into the newsroom momentarily, and when we come out of the newsroom, we're going to be talking with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, and we got
an engine can't get air so the car stalls. That's bad, but it's way better than trying to start the car and pulling that water into the engine.
But are you saying that even if the water is, let's say, above the hood, theoretically, is a car still savable at that point at a reasonable price?
It can be. It depends on how much water gets pulled into, past the air filter and into the engine itself. Once water starts floating around on the cylinder, on the pistons, you've got a problem. You're going to have to go into the engine to fix that.
I think you just said something that reinforces what a listener texted, and he says he is a mechanic, and he says, I just want to tell you all, when the water goes down, do not try to start that car. You need to have it towed and have a qualified mechanic look at it.
Yeah.
Before you attempt to start it. So if the water goes down and now your car's sitting there and you try to turn it over, he says you're going to do damage to the vehicle.
Yeah, but in fact, the airbox sort of protects you from that. It's difficult for water to make its way through there. So you don't want to make it easier for the water to get into your engine.
Okay. Now, what about when cars start, and I know we've talked about this over the years. I remember the first time we addressed this was after a hurricane in Louisiana, and cars were coming up to the Midwest from Louisiana, and we come to find out, a lot of those cars were actually flooded cars. And I remember you talked about pulling up the carpet in the trunk.
Pulling up the carpet in the trunk, you can run your hand, too. Underneath the dashboard, just reach down underneath the steering column and feel the surfaces down there, because mud or silt will accumulate there. Difficult place to clean. But if you find gritty dirt there, good chance it was flooded. Also, Carfax has gotten very good at identifying flood cars, so you absolutely want to get a Carfax report.
If you have a car that is flood damaged, is there anywhere you can go to make sure that the person you're talking to about saving this car is a qualified person? Are there any dealers, any place? So you're not going to be scammed by somebody who says, oh, yeah, I can fix this, and they don't know anything about doing it. What would be a reliable source for finding out if this car is safe?
I don't know if I have an answer for you, Steve, because this probably doesn't come up that often. So people qualified to fix the problem might be difficult to identify because there isn't certification, as far as I know.
Sadly,
that's a great
question. Sadly,
you want to make sure you trust whoever you're talking to,
I guess,
which is not a great answer.
But sadly, I think given the reality of how our climate and weather events are changing, I think that's going to become a more relevant question as we go through more years.
Here's a good suggestion from a listener. It says, automatically take photos. Take detailed, good, clear photos under the hood, any water lines you see, because you may need to turn this all over to your insurance company. Because if they're slammed with a lot of people saying that there's been flooding and, they want money for what's happened to them so they can replace their vehicle or get it fixed or whatever, you need to have documentation.
Okay, we're going to have to break, but as we break, I want to do a non-automotive related thing. as you're listening to us, are you hearing the kind of us talking in echo that we're hearing? We don't hear it from Tom's side. We're hearing it when we're talking, and it's the same problem we had when we were talking with Spike earlier. And we're going to be running this by there. Bob and some of our other engineers are trying to figure out what the heck is going on, so we're trying to figure out the source. I don't think it has anything to do with Tom's computer or Spike's computer.
Yeah.
I think this is a different problem.
It's the atmosphere.
So our question is, are we the only ones that are hearing this? Or, and this is why I'm talking for a while now, because I'm hearing myself in echo, and I want to find out, are you guys hearing this too?
Yeah, yeah. We'll take a break, and we will come right back talking cars with Tom Appel here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I wanted to let it get to that point. That is one of the songs from our theme, Happy Birthday, Mr. Knopfler. That is Tom Appel's cartoons theme. And Tom, you want to explain that song and what it has to do with Ray Kroc?
Yeah, kind of a masterpiece. The song's called Boom Like That, and it's off Knopfler's 2004 album, Shangri-La. And it's this great song about just how incredibly aggressive and frankly unethical Ray Kroc was in pursuing the McDonald's brothers. It's a great song. It's got a wonderful tone.
I'd never heard the song, and I was listening to it. I wanted Steve, let it keep playing, because when he gets to that Kroc with a K, like crocodile, I'm like, whoa. I'm going to have to seek that one out. Boom Like That, Mark Knopfler. The Ray Kroc song.
And you may be able to tell Tom is on the phone now, and thank you to those who that called and texted us. Yeah, you're hearing the echo stuff too. A little technical stuff. I think it's a problem here at WGN, because it's highly unlikely that both Spike Odell and Tom Appel would have had the same kind of weird echo problem only on our voices. So anyhow,
it could just be us too.
Well, there's that. Yes. Yeah. So there are so many things to get to tonight.
Oh, a couple of people, again, the texts have been just hot and heavy tonight. Of course, we were talking about storms earlier, but when we said you were going to be on the show, a couple of people said, please, please, please have Tom talk about this massive Toyota Camry recall. And it's over 500,000 vehicles, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's a big recall. It's a relatively minor situation, and it sounds like it's going to be a software update. So it's going to inconvenience lots of people. And for some reason, it's 2025 and 2026 Camrys, and the press releases keep saying that it's the hybrid. All Camrys are hybrid now. So it's unnecessary to say that. Yeah, but the instrument panel is going blank, and it's difficult for people to determine what they're doing. And then I read a different recall notice that suggested, and I don't know if this is true or not, that the turn signals weren't working. I think you just can't see that they're working.
Well, I read that it disabled the turn signals, the hazard lights, and the warning chimes.
So it would make it problematic for someone behind you to know that you were going to turn right, left, or whatever.
Well,
I read that, too.
That hasn't stopped anybody. Who uses turn signals, right?
Yeah, there's that.
You know, it's like,
in Chicago, no one.
It's like they forgot that they had a turn signal. But you will get a notification from Toyota. And Tom, are you understanding that this is just going to be a software update, which means that you're not going to have to give up your vehicle for this repair?
It sounds like that's going to be the thing, yeah. It might be something you can do in 15, 20 minutes while you wait. So it'd be great if you could schedule that, go there right on time and not spend much time there. But yeah, it doesn't sound like any hardware is involved, so no installation time.
Now, we recently went through a recall, and we talked about it with you on the air, and a couple of people said, you know what, I don't know how to deal with finding out if my car has a recall. And I think sometimes we kind of assume that everybody knows what the VIN is, and it's not the VIN number, because that's being redundant, because it's your vehicle identification number. So your VIN is 17 digits. And it should be on that little plaque that's right on your windshield, right, Tom? That little tiny strip that's up on your windshield, down low, I should say.
Yeah, driver's side, right there at the very edge, so you can see it from outside. 17 digits, it's a metal plaque. It is also on your insurance card, mm-hmm. should be.
Right.
It's usually on other stuff that's in your little, that little plastic case where you keep your owner's manual. It's a lot of different places. It's on your title as well. So easy enough to find. It's 17 digits. Used to be 14, but that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that, you go to the NHTSA website.
And that's the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA. It's very easy to find. When you Google NHTSA, it's going to give you the option of going to their recall site. When you go to the recall site, it's going to ask you for, in some cases, it will say, if you don't have your VIN readily available, you can put in your license plate information and the state that you're from, and it can give you information. I always found that it was best because we were not getting recall information with just the license, but when I put the license and the VIN, boom, right, it would pop up. So it probably would be wise just to find out what the VIN is and put that in, and then you will find out if you're going to be getting a recall notice from the manufacturer.
And if in any way you're in doubt or you can't get through any of these things, call your dealer.
Mm-hmm.
The service advisor can find out for you, too.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, just before we break for news, we mentioned a couple weeks ago that we were aware of a recall for our Genesis GV80. We had received an initial recall notice, but this was the, okay, this is a recall, we'll let you know when it's fixed. After a few weeks, we hadn't heard anything. I called the dealership. They said, sure, bring it up tomorrow. They fixed it. We just got the final, oh, we have the recall fix notice 2 days ago.
Right.
So it was about 3 weeks after we had it fixed that we got the recall notice. And my question to you, Tom, is that sometimes kind of unfortunately normal for the way how this stuff works out?
Yeah, I think it is. When we were talking about COVID, we were talking about flattening the demand curve. And that's exactly what I think is happening here. They just want to let people know in batches,
mm-hmm.
so the dealers can handle groups of people at a fairly steady pace.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, we've got a lot more to cover with Tom Appel talking cars as we do twice a month right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Colin Elvis, but we're talking cars with Tom Appel. That is one of Tom's tunes. You want to explain what that was, Tom?
Yeah, Colin Elvis off the album On Every Street. It was Strait's last album, and it didn't get enough love. It's actually a really great album. And I think that's like one of the first tracks on the A side, but fantastic song. And that album's got a lot of energy. Sometimes Dire Straits songs, I think, to the disappointment of people who just want to rock, you know, find some of the more, what's the word I'm looking for here? Intellectual works.
Okay.
But also, as is the case, as is the case with a lot of Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits songs, watch the video. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's another one on me. I'm not familiar with Calling Elvis. So that's actually the Dire Straits album.
Yeah.
Their
last album.
Yeah. Could that be 1991?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Mm.
Okay.
So many things to get to. I want to touch on something that we heard earlier about subscriptions. That all manufacturers want you to subscribe now. It's not just that they want you to buy a car. They want you to subscribe. And Mercedes is in the headlines now for saying, you really want that horsepower? Well, then you got to subscribe if you want to get that horsepower.
When I read that you could subscribe for more horsepower, it just blew my mind. But, Tom, I recall you telling us at one point, wasn't it the BMW, if you wanted heated seats, you would subscribe for that?
Yeah, that was BMW seriously pushing its luck, and customers pushed back really hard on that one. so they backed away from it. The whole idea that you would pay to use hardware that's already on your vehicle, it's as absurd as it sounds, and no one should ever think otherwise. And BMW really heard from consumers about that. But that doesn't mean they're not going to start charging for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not weird for people to pay for advanced self-driving features, advanced telematics and navigation systems and things like that. And we're already paying for, a lot of people are paying for satellite radio. So we're sort of in the habit
mm-hmm.
of doing this. But the features are going to become more complicated and more valuable. And Mercedes now has this thing where on a couple of its vehicles, you can pay a subscription every month to get a little more horsepower out of your electric vehicle.
I'm sorry. I just have to chuckle because it just sounds so bizarre.
That's kind of like, I'm buying the suit, but if I want all the buttons to work, you really want all the buttons to work, not just two buttons? Then you have to subscribe. Oh, hang it on your nose.
Or you want pants? Oh, you wanted a zipper with yeah. pants? That costs extra.
You want the right size? See, if you don't subscribe, it will shrink. But you want that size to stay your size.
Stop. Okay, well, speaking of subscriptions, last week when we were talking tech with Patrick Crispin, he brought up something that we experienced when we were in California with him. He was telling us about on his vehicle, he had an alarm that was put on his car, but he chose not to subscribe to the service that the dealership offered. And then he was curious about that alarm. It's K-A-R-R is the alarm. And come to find out that Wired and a bunch of techs had also been looking into this alarm that's not put on by the manufacturer. It's put on by the dealers. And then their hope is that you will say, yes, I want to pay you X amount of money each month.
But if you say, no, I don't want it, they don't take it off. It is still on the vehicle.
Right.
And now there are ways that nefarious people can go through a neighborhood and find out what vehicles have this and just use it to hijack the vehicles.
It can open your vehicle, and that means they're not breaking the windows, they're not doing any damage to the car that they're trying to steal. Were you surprised when you heard about that, Tom?
I was, and I thought what this was when we started talking about it, I thought this had something to do with, people might remember, buy here, pay here kind of stores. They were used car lots for people who couldn't get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would pay usually weekly for a car, and you'd go back to the dealership every week to pay off your loan as opposed to mailing it in. And there were, in fact, devices that would cause a car to become useless if you didn't come in and make your payment.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. The car device is interesting because it has two purposes for a dealer. One is inventory and lot management. If they put one of these in every car that they have, they can open the doors, they can start the cars, and if they need to move all the cars, and I worked at a dealership in the early 90s, the owner really liked to realign the cars every week or so, and all the salesmen would go out there, and it would take forever for someone to key all the cars to make that happen, but these devices take that time, and it happens automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to open the cars. You don't have to put keys in them. So that's really cool for the dealer. Plus, they know if a car is there or not. So the device helps them with that. And then, secondly, they can sell the device with the car as an alarm, as a security device. So all that stuff seems cool. The problem is the device, which is not very expensive, isn't worth the dealer's effort to remove.
Mm-hmm.
It's only worth about $50 or $75, and the labor involved in installing it and then removing it is actually more than the value of the thing. So they don't want to be bothered with taking them out of the car. Problem is, they do in fact pose a security risk. They were never meant to be what they're becoming, and it is possible for people who have what they call the master device to find these vehicles, track them down, and open the car.
Mm-hmm.
So what is being sold or pitched as a security device is actually a more unsecure device that is now attached to your vehicle that you didn't want and you can't take it off.
That's correct. And I think the only real way for a consumer to protect themselves is to absolutely demand that the dealer take it off.
Well, Patrick is going to do that. And he says, you know, watch this space. If it results in a class action suit, he said, I'll be right there with them. Because after you watch this video of the guys who figured out, the techie guys who figured out what the key is, and by key, I don't mean a literal key, mm-hmm. but it's a way on their computer that they figured out how they can open up your car if it has this K-A-R-R. And to find out on your new car, if you have it, you will have a sticker on your car that has K-A-R-R, blue sticker. It should be on the door someplace.
And also, Patrick, again, and we're going over some of this for those of you who may have not have heard our conversation with Patrick. Patrick kind of knows technology. Theoretically, you were supposed to be able to download something that would allow you to remove this. Patrick knows technology. He tried it two or three times. He wasn't able to do it, so he has to go back to the dealership mm-hmm. and say, get this bleeping thing off my car.
Mm-hmm. And I think
you don't want that there. And the device does something really weird, too. Hmm. And I never got to the bottom of exactly why it does it. But periodically, at even intervals, the device sends out what's called a Bluetooth low energy pulse or signal that makes it easier for folks who might be acting in a nefarious way to track down these vehicles.
I'm interrupting you for a second because I'm seeing a scroll. The National Weather Service has just issued a special, give me a second.
It's scrolling.
It's scrolling. I wanted to get to the beginning, and it will do that momentarily.
We've been watching the radar, too, so there's some.
Beginning at 12:44, ending at 3:14. Okay, now the scroll. The National Weather Service has issued a special marine warning for Burns Harbor to Michigan City, Indiana, Gary to Burns Harbor, Indiana, Calumet Harbor, Illinois to Gary, Indiana, Northerly Island to Calumet Harbor, Illinois, and Wilmette Harbor to Northerly Island, Illinois, beginning at 12:44 a.m. and ending at 3:14 a.m.
Oh.
That means not good weather.
Yeah.
In an area that does not
that has
need.
Already been inundated
yeah.
with bad weather.
Yeah.
So
wow.
we're keeping an eye on this. We're aware of it. If anything is going on in your area, we should be aware of. Make us aware of it. 312-981-7200. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw Gary on that, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. And I know.
And again, you're talking about areas that don't have
right.
power.
Right. We're going to take a break. We're going to stay on top of that. You can text us wherever you're living, whatever you're experiencing. We'd be glad to take your information. Tom Appel is with us for a bit, talking cars here on WGN.
Tom. I thought you knew better than to play any songs that have to do with shoes when Johnny's around.
It's like my new theme song, Quality Shoe. Well,
you want to explain?
Ray Kroc and shoes.
Yeah.
That's Mark Knopfler, and that was from one of my favorite Mark Knopfler albums, Ragpicker's Dream. That's a great album.
Yeah, I do enjoy that album. 2002,
yeah.
Mid-pack there about his solo work.
Before we get, because we're running out of time, what have you been road testing lately?
I finally got my hands on, I'm excited to drive this, I finally got my hands on the 2027 Chrysler Pacifica.
Oh, what'd you think?
It is not the complete redesign that I had hoped it would be, but it is dramatically different looking. People might remember that it was pretty swoopy,
mm-hmm.
right? It was just very clean and aerodynamic.
Yeah.
They've gone with a Hyundai Kia style front end with LEDs, and it's a little boxier looking, and there's just more use of light.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dramatic difference for the front end, a light retouch to the rear end, and then the interior has been tweaked. So it's not a very different vehicle in terms of feel, but it looks different, and the looks are working. Sales are up 80% this year.
Wow.
Now, is it still offered in hybrid, I hope?
No.
Really?
As part of what had happened with the EPA being defanged by the current administration, Chrysler, I should say Stellantis, has gone all out on bigger engines, getting rid of hybrids, and stuffing Hemis and everything. So the only engine here is a V6. You can still get all-wheel drive. The hybrid also had been plug-in only, which made it really expensive. And I think a lot of families were passing on that. They need a more conventional hybrid, and we may see that in the next couple of years.
I hope so, because even though it was plug-in hybrid, the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid was one of our all-time favorite vehicles. Love it. And
I would buy one.
Right now, if you, I would say, and I don't know if you would agree with this, Tom, but if you can find a used Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid in good condition, buy it, buy it, buy it.
Yeah, considering the resale value, too, probably going to be pretty favorable. There just wasn't that much demand for them new. So I think if you find one, there's not going to be a lot of competition. So the price should be relatively easy to handle.
So what else you been road testing?
I also just got out of, I have a problem with this car that no one else seems to have, the 2026 Subaru Outback, which has been completely redesigned for 2026, and it is a complete redesign. It's a very good vehicle. If you like the old Outback, you're going to like the new Outback. It's a little bit roomier, a little bit smoother riding. You still have a little bit of that interesting grit from the flat four, the boxer style four cylinder engine. So it sounds a little sporty, but my problem is
wait. You have to say Tom. You have to say, but my problem is okay.
I have so many problems, but it does not look like a station wagon to me. And I always thought that was sort of the car's appeal.
I agree. I always liked that. It looked like it was a gutsy, like a well-put together, strong station wagon. If you had to drive...
A manly station
wagon. Yeah, if you had to go off-road a little bit, it was going to be okay. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at the new one, but I would miss the way it used to look. So you say you're kind of in the minority as far as that criticism is concerned?
I can't make anyone care. but it does not look like a station wagon, and it was kind of the only station wagon.
Yeah.
So kind of sad to see it pass.
I bet in our lifetime, we are going to see station wagons come back, because we've been doing this show long enough. We remember the demise of the sedan. We're not going to have any more. Yeah. Nobody wants them. Oh, guess what? We're getting them again. Now they're going to be all the rage. I'm like, stick around long enough. They all come back around.
What was that? I'm blanking out on that Hemi-loaded Dodge station wagon. That wasn't the Marauder, was it?
It was the Magnum.
Magnum. Oh, I love those.
That was a great name for a car, too.
Was so cool.
Yeah. That was a good car.
Jonathan just nodded at that. Jonathan, you like the Dodge Magnum?
I just love the name of it because it's one of Zoolander's looks.
There's a reason to buy a car. It's one of Zoolander's looks.
100%.
You know what? We like you because you're weird.
Oh, absolutely.
And you came to the right place.
I'm happy to be here.
Yes. Oh, boy. Tom, I did want to mention something. Let me find this. Came up in a text here. I feel the pressure.
Well, while Johnny is looking, I will ask any recalls that we haven't talked about that we should talk about.
Yeah, there is. How have I lost my recall?
See,
you've lost
like
your recall, Tom.
Where am I? Who am I?
Your name is Tom Appel.
In the meantime, we did have a caller ask a question about the Subaru Outback and any reason why they may have gotten rid of the six-cylinder.
I think just the packaging thing. Yeah, you can get the four-cylinder turbo, which had about the same power. There used to be a really smooth, 3.6-liter flat six, not turbocharged, really nice engine in that application. That was also there when there was still a Subaru Legacy, which was a big sedan and could be had as a wagon as well. But they got rid of that, and the biggest engine you can get now, most powerful engine, is a 2.4-liter turbocharged engine, which is all available, also available in their slow-selling mid-size crossover.
Would you agree that along with all of the digital and computerized stuff that is now on just about every vehicle, that one of the major improvements, I would say, over the past 20, 25 years has been the smoothness of turbocharged engines?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely. I was at a Volvo presentation maybe 15 years ago, and Volvo had made public its plans to use 2-liter turbocharged engines in their entire product line. And at the time, I thought that was a terrible idea because these small turbocharged engines don't deliver power down low. They're just a little bit crude. Every time you shift, you lose all your turbo boost. And then somehow, some way, they're seamless now in most applications.
And it used to be when they first started throwing turbos in cars, the turbo lag was like, okay, you put your foot on the gas, one, two, three. Oh, now the car is going to go. Yeah. As opposed to now, it's seamless.
A listener says in Europe they used to. He says they sold the Magnum as the Chrysler 300 wagon.
Okay.
It is funny to see pictures of that because it's like a weird dream. It's the Magnum that we know and love, but with a Chrysler 300 grille. It's very strange.
That is strange.
And in my pea-sized brain, any Chrysler product with a Hemi, I'm there.
Yeah. Steve just likes to scare the neighborhood boys because when they would come by, it literally happened to us one time. We had our window open in the living room.
And we were road testing a black Dodge Charger with a Hemi, and it had the remote start. And there were these kids we could see from our living room.
It was about
window.
A half a dozen boys coming home from school, and they circled.
They circled the car. They were looking at it, and I couldn't resist. You know how the evil devil hops on your shoulder? And I grabbed the remote start and started it, and it scared the daylights out of them.
I think a couple of them wet their pants, and I thought, oh, that's rude, Steve. But it was funny. It was.
That's what children are for, though. I mean,
they went running down the street.
To entertain us.
That's right, to entertain us. You're right. All right, real quick, the final few seconds here. What are you and who are you talking to on your podcast these days?
We're talking to Harvey Briggs, who's very popular on Wisconsin TV. We're going to be talking about motorsports, which I know very little about, but Harvey's gotten into a new podcast. We'll be talking about that. A lot going on. Also, we're going to be talking about the four-door Mustang. Which is big news coming down the pike.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in 2 weeks when you're back with us on the radio.
In the meantime, should check out consumerguide.com and follow you, Car Guy Tom, on Blue Sky. So thank you, and we'll do this in 2 weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye, Tom.
News is next. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And we're following a number of things. One, the Weather Service has issued a special marine warning for Burns Harbor to Michigan City, Indiana, Gary to Burns Harbor, Indiana, Calumet Harbor, Illinois to Gary, Indiana, Northerly Island to Calumet Harbor, Illinois, and Wilmette Harbor to Northerly Island, Illinois, began at 12:44. It's not supposed to end until a quarter after 3. So if you are experiencing any nasty weather, make us aware of that. You can call, you can text. Our number is 312-981-7200. And bad weather, just what Indiana in particular doesn't need any more of. Also, if you're just joining us, we had a number of people that joined us, and they said, we heard that you you played a new theme song tonight that Spike wrote, and we didn't get to hear it. So we're going to replay it again. What you're going to hear, it's not Spike singing. It is a song that Spike created.
He wrote for us.
and we were very surprised with it. We're not going to get rid of the Bob Young theme song, but we may be alternating theme songs on a more regular basis.
Yeah, if I need a little shot of adrenaline, because this is high energy, so yeah. Buckle up for it.
If you haven't heard it, or if you have heard it, turn up your radio to the threshold of pain and dig this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Billy Spike Odell. We had no idea Spike was going to do that, but after we played his song last week, he decided that he wanted to surprise us with that, and we love it. And again, Spike created everything you hear. Yes, he used AI to give the finished product of his creation.
Right. We had an interesting conversation about the future of AI, and I predict that we're going to learn, I should say the music industry is going to learn how to work with AI, because it's not going away.
Right.
And I know it's very controversial, and there's a lot of fear about it replacing humans and their performances.
Right.
But I think we're going to come around to learning how we can use it the way Spike is using it.
And as I said earlier, I think, do I want AI to replace human performers? Hell no. But do I think that AI would be appreciated by someone like Les Paul, who invented multiple recording and reverb and flanging and all kinds of... It's another tool that a creative performer can use to enhance their creation.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Spike was talking about... And by the way, you'll hear our conversation with Spike on the podcast, but you won't hear the songs, because songs just don't get played, because that's just the deal. The services that carry podcasts don't want to have anything to do with music because they have to pay for it. That's a whole other issue.
And different streaming services have different requirements.
There's coming
in different
fees.
So
yes.
That's why our podcasts don't have music. If we have a musical guest in the studio, that's why we do video. Oh, that reminds
me. Yes, we have brand new videos that are up.
Yes, you need to go to our blog, that is stephenjohnny.wordpress.com, or our YouTube channel, and you will see some brand new videos from the Empty Pockets.
Terrific videos.
And coming up this next week, we're going to have some terrific videos from Alice Wallace, who is in the studio. A lot of people, and yes, she's the one that did the wonderful yodeling.
And we have the video of her yodeling, so you can see the magic that that woman did. I mean, it just blew us away, because I have a new appreciation for yodeling, thanks to Alice, because I watched her for 3 minutes, and I could not believe the sounds, the beautiful sounds that were coming out of her.
And speaking of in-studio musical performers, not next week, but the week after next, Howard Levy is going to be in the studio with us.
He's a brand new solo album. He's been a very busy guy, so we're lucky to get him in here, because September, October, he's all over the place.
And speaking of upcoming shows, we should mention that our show next week will start a little later.
Mm-hmm.
It will start probably 9:30-ish, because due to the Bears game, whenever there is a conflict with the Bears game, WGN Radio carries the Sox broadcast.
Woohoo!
Yay!
So we can actually hear them win again.
Yes.
Because it's kind of hard when we're on the air following the game. So.
And we are huge fans of Len Casper.
Yeah.
And
DJ.
And Darren Jackson. They are two of the best I've ever heard.
I agree.
And so they're going to be on before us, so we should get on around 9:30-ish.
Mm-hmm. Unless it goes into extra innings. As long as they win, go ahead.
Yeah,
play extra innings.
Do whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's next Saturday. And then as we move into, oh gosh, I got to stop, because next thing you know, we're in September. Right? For the next 2 weeks. Oh, no, we've got 5 Saturdays in August.
Yes.
Yes, she said.
But on September 5th, you will have an encore performance because someone has a birthday that night, and we won't be here for her birthday.
Because I need time to process my birthday. You know what? We're going to take a break and come back. And I want to just take a moment because we heard from so many people that are still in the dark tonight. Yeah. And I'm sure they're still listening. In fact, one of our listeners sitting in his car listening to us tonight, he's in Chesterton, Indiana, has no power. He's in the car charging his phone.
Oh, boy.
Now, think about that. We forget. You say, oh, well, I've got my phone here. Yeah, but you got to charge that phone sometimes. Yeah. And this is a good time, too, to mention that there are some batteries that you can buy pocket size, in fact, nowadays. Anchor makes
incredible batteries, battery chargers.
A-N-K-E-R.
Yeah.
And you can grab one of those. I think even Walgreens carries, it may not be Anchors, but it might be worth just getting one, keeping it charged up. I take one with us when we're traveling in case we get delayed. I don't like to charge my phone in an airport, so I'll have one of these in my pocket, and then I can get some more juice back into my phone. That, you know, again, we talked earlier about how it's one thing to get prepared for a hurricane. It's really difficult to get prepared, quote unquote, for a tornado. But little things like that, just getting an anchor battery charge just to have it charged and ready in case something like this happens. But I do have information from NIPSCO I want to repeat for folks who don't know when they're predicting their power is going to come back on.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. We got just, you know, the final stretch of the show. If there's something else you want to sneak in, 312-981-7200 right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. A lot of texts coming in asking, giving us information and asking some questions about some battery chargers.
Being prepared, if you can be prepared for an event like last week's. 312 said, has any manufacturer come up with a battery-powered USB-C outlet? And it just so happened that engineer Bob walked in the door when that text came in, and I said, how about it? And you said, yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, so, I have one that has A, B, and, you know, has all the different. So, since it's a C outlet, I could charge either my iPhone or a Samsung because they both take the C port.
Oh, okay. So the Anchor battery backup that I said, the big chunky one.
And sure. I think
it'll list the ports that are available.
Okay.
I think that's the one I have. And if it's the one I'm thinking of, the one I have is a big one. And it has the different ports on it. And I believe it came with some Y plugs.
Sure.
So you had the option of plugging in these different.
And that's why it was over $100 bucks for that one, because that was a big, chunky, and it lasts a long time, too.
And I even got one that has a little battery meter that tells me how much charge
I have. Really? Because you are a nerd.
Because I am an ultra nerd.
Guess what? I have a battery charger that is on a keychain, but I haven't figured out how to power it up to put it on my purse so that I would always have it with me. So it's a little circle, and it's just a flat thing, but then you could peel the cord off of the circle and plug your phone in so you can talk on your phone. But they didn't have instructions on how to charge that thing.
If you bring it in, I will show you how to charge.
Thank you. I will do that.
But one of the other things, and this falls under the you ain't born knowing this stuff, a lot of people don't know that if you have this battery charger and it's charged up, if you don't use it, it's not going to lose that charge. So it can be months down the road, as I have done and gone to it, and I still get the four lights saying, yep, it's completely charged up because there's nothing to discharge it. And
it's turned off.
It's a battery, yeah.
As a matter of fact, longtime listeners know I have three screws in my hip. I don't have wonderful balance. I use a cane. I have a cane that has a light on it.
Yes.
And if I don't use the light, I mean, it's been a good 6-7 months since I have charged this because there is nothing to discharge.
Well, you
so
know
the
what?
Same thing as the battery chargers. If you're not discharging it, they're going to hold that charge.
You're going to walk out of here tonight and it's going to be dead.
Yeah.
You've just done that. You've just cursed it. It's not going to be working. And you didn't mention that there's also a siren on that stick.
Should I demonstrate that to Tracy?
Yeah, you should.
For the kids? Yeah. Okay, I'm
for
going
people
over
who
here
are
for
sitting
a
in their car charging.
They say, come on, that can't possibly have a siren.
I know.
There's just no way.
And as I always like to tell people, it's European.
Ah.
You know, it's the British siren, which really gets your attention.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me get back over here.
Yes. We have sold so many of these things because it's a very elegant walking stick. You don't expect it to do things like give you a big bright light, which will also flash.
Well,
in case he falls.
In fact, that's the key. It is not a cane. It's a walking stick.
A walking stick, yes. It's a debonair walking stick.
So you have the light.
Yes.
But if I, and the light goes on if I just hold
it
once.
It's a bright light.
And those of you listening can of course see that light.
We're blinded by it.
But now,
for those of you at home playing along.
But so I will turn it off. But now, if I hold my finger, so I'm walking down the street, and Mr. Evil Nefarious, or Mrs. Evil Nefarious,
yes,
comes
we don't
up
want to discriminate.
And tries to do something nefarious, and I say, au contraire, let me hold this button and hear what happens. And as it's doing that, the light is doing a strobe light.
Very
Stop
impressive.
Stop it! Stop it! You're going to worry people. This is Steve playing with a walking stick. Stop it. Now.
That has such a
there
wonderful...
There are probably dogs and cats all over Chicago going, oh!
Like they woke up.
That has such a wonderful British sound.
It
I
does.
Love it. It's like, this is the first cane I've ever heard, or walking stick I've ever had that speaks with an English accent.
Yes. So we were in a restaurant and a man said, ooh, I love that. That's a very... And he was dressed to the nines.
Oh, he was.
He looked great. He says, I love that stick. And I said, it's got a flashlight. Oh, so I could find the key. You know, I said, it's got a siren too. And he said, oh, how do I get one?
Yeah.
He went right out to the car and he ordered one right then.
And there is a little teeny-nicey.
Yeah.
Where you charge it.
It's
on
a
the
USB
other,
port.
It's a USB port
so
on the
tiny.
Other side of the handle.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I haven't charged this.
In a year.
Well, I think I last charged it before we went to the Grand Canyon. So was that?
Yeah, that was back in March.
So.
Yeah. But it
Well, after that demonstration, you're probably right. He's going to walk out. It's going to go.
Yeah. It's going to make that really sick. I like the way we all just kind of three-part harmony.
Just like we rehearsed it.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
So to answer that question, yes, you can just look on the backup batteries. They should specify if it has the USB-C outlet on it. Not uncommon these days.
Not at all.
And we recommend the Anker just because we've had great luck. And
But we first got one when...
As a gift.
It was a gift from Donna, your best friend.
Right. She had survived the wildfires out in California. And she said, I don't know what I would have done if we did not have two of these in our house. So I have gone out and bought a half a dozen and sent them to all of the people that mean something to me, which was a really nice surprise gift.
Because she was using it to help power a bunch of things and the Sea Crane radio.
Yes.
That was literally their only source of information because power was gone.
Yep.
Because, you know, you can't take those on an airplane being lithium-ion batteries, you know.
Well, you can. Can't you take them on the airplane? You just can't put them in your luggage.
They have to be.
Not in the luggage. Yeah. You have to carry them.
Because we watched a woman in the airport the other day. She was honest. They said as she was checking her bag, she goes, oh, yes. I think she had a camera or something in there. And she threw open that bag in the middle of the airport and started scratching around and got it out. And they said, thank you. And I thought, yeah, thank you for doing that. All right. You sent me information about the NIPSCO's latest update. And I appreciate that because I've not seen it written up this way. I think what I'll do is I will save this and coming up in the after we get a news update. If you are in Northwest Indiana and you've not received information from NIPSCO, they are saying that approximately 90% of their impacted customers are expected to have power restored by 11:59 p.m. on Tuesday, August 18th. So that would be a whole week from storm time. They expect restoration to reach 100% of their customers by Friday, by midnight Friday, August 21st. And that's everyone in Portage, Chesterton, Valpo, Hobart, Crown Point, Merrillville, Gary, Michigan City, and throughout Northwest Indiana. Sunday evening is now the next major update to watch. So that's the latest. If you didn't get all of that, you need to text me 312-981-7200. Do that, and we will come back on the other side of the news here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Carly Simon has a brand new album out. It's called Comes in Waves. One of the songs on the album that is getting a lot of speculation is Maybe I Never Loved You. A lot of people are wondering, is it written about James Taylor? And she's...
They were married for 11 years. They had two kids together. I hate that song.
If you go to her website, the opening page on her website, she starts out with, what have you been up to recently, people have asked me. She says, true, I've been quieter than usual for a couple of years. It wasn't planned that way. Life kept happening the way life does. Some parts euphoric, others not so much. But the songs in splinters and scraps, half-formed or strangely complete, never stopped coming. And over the past several years, she's been dealing with some very serious health problems.
Well, she has Parkinson's.
But her music is one of the only things that has kind of helped her mentally get mm-hmm. out of the serious issues she's dealing with.
She certainly does not sound like an 83-year-old.
No.
I wish I could ask her. Everyone thinks this is about James Taylor. Why? Why? I don't get it.
I listened to all of the songs from the album. I'm a Carly Simon fan.
Yeah.
I appreciate her creativity. This is a really down album.
Well, I think maybe her health is coming through
sure.
in her music.
I think it is absolutely possible. I like a lot of it, but don't go to this album thinking you're going to get any of the up-tempo Carly Simon stuff, because you're not. So, yeah. And you can go to her site, and you can, and again, it's carlysimon.com. You can click on and hear some snippets of all of the songs, and that'll give you a sense of it. And again, it's all very, very down-tempo.
And maybe I Never Loved You is not even subtle. It's just like, hey, I wasted my time for 11 years and had two babies with you.
But she's not really saying that.
Well,
if you listen to all of
lyrics. At one point she says, you backed me up when I
but
hid.
She also says, maybe I did.
Yeah, maybe you didn't love me. I'm like, wow, maybe you need to be talking to a counselor, because that is depressing.
But again, I cut her tons of slack dealing with what she's dealing with and using this as an outlet to give her a sense of
yes.
something normal.
Yes, it has to be an outlet for her, because I think it is going to, as beloved as James Taylor is, and I think it really is about James Taylor, I think that this is going to have people saying, oh, I'm on the JT side. I'm not on Carly Simon's
side.
But
interestingly, and I'm trying to think of where I saw this, it was within the past week, James Taylor commented on how in a biography that he did a couple of years ago, he never really addressed their relationship. And I'm paraphrasing here. He said something along the lines of, some things are too personal and I still don't want to.
Well, wasn't that nice
yeah.
of him, as opposed to saying, you know what, I never loved her anyway, and we were married for 11 years and we made good music.
But I think at that time in his life, I think he was still dealing with some serious drug issues.
Well, it may be, but I don't, that just, ew. Ew, ew, ew. It's like airing your dirty laundry. I'm sorry. And she's obviously not making music that she expects to be played on the radio.
Oddly enough, this album got a wonderful review from a number of sources.
Okay, it's just me then. And I'm just, because...
I'm going to segue, because I told you about this before we came in tonight.
Yeah.
There was another record that I was going to add to our list of songs to play tonight by Sheryl Crow.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first song from Sheryl Crow's album that is going to be released sometime in October. And I was listening to it, and I liked a lot of it. And then I got to the point where she uses an obscenity in the chorus, not the F-bomb, and it just really turned me off for a number of reasons. Number one, she's creative enough, she could have come up with something else that would have been just as effective as saying a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and it's every artist's right to do what they want to do, but if you are doing that, you have automatically said to the radio industry, mm-hmm. you're not going to play this song. And yeah, the whole music industry is different than it was,
mm-hmm.
but it sure doesn't help you if you are saying, here's a whole side of potential airplay mm-hmm. that I'm going to exclude.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, and there was no radio-friendly version of this that
she'll
I heard.
She'll have to do that.
And it's an interesting song, but I just thought, nope, not going to play it. And again, I'm a Sheryl Crow fan.
Yeah, yeah. And I was a Carly Simon fan, but that one song, I'm like, nope, I'm on James Taylor's side. I'm Team JT.
And I will segue to the extent that if you want to see a wonderful live performance, Carly Simon, it was on some British liner years ago, and she did a whole live performance on this boat.
Hmm.
And one of the things she does is the James Bond theme, and it's a brilliant live mm-hmm. performance.
Yeah. Speaking of brilliant, there was brilliant lightning behind you as you were speaking. So we
That's
made,
just me.
We, yeah. And that wasn't your walking stick either.
No.
No, we may be getting more rain if you look at the radar.
Yeah.
And there's the marine warning for an area that doesn't need any more rain.
Okay, before we break, let me give you the complete marine warning. It's just going to wrap up, and I have to wait till it continues scrolling. And it is about continued scrolling or finished scrolling, so it's starting again. And it says the National Weather Service has issued a special marine warning for Burns Harbor to Michigan City, Indiana, Gary to Burns Harbor, Indiana, Calumet Harbor, Illinois, to Gary, Indiana, Northerly Island to Calumet Harbor, Illinois, and Wilmette Harbor to Northerly Island, Illinois. It started at 12:44, and the warning goes till 3:14. So, as you said, we don't need that kind of news for areas that have been really devastated by a lot of nasty, nasty weather.
And 52% of the folks living in Lake County, Indiana, are still in the dark. And it looks like that's going to happen for a few more days.
Uh-oh.
That scared me. I thought that was thunder. And that was Bob on the Zamboni.
Yeah. Bob, we're not
quite jittery.
Done yet, Bob.
He wants to clean up the joint. He wants to get the muffin crumbs out of here.
Okay. Whoops.
That's not code, by the way.
If you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again, 312-981-7200. And if you want to have something pithy, or if you just
want to say, I need to hear a human voice.
Yeah.
Your brother stepped on the scale yesterday because his scale talks to him. He said, oh my God, I realized I got on the scale to hear another human voice. I said, I'm sorry. That's really tough. Okay, 312-981.
Call Stephen Johnny or step on the scale. Which way am I going?
Well, it was early. 312-981-7200. You don't have to have anything deep and as we say, pithy.
Or if something weather-wise is going on wherever you are and you want to share that with us, that's fine too.
Or if you want to share life from the past week, or if you just want to vent, whatever. We'd like to give you a few minutes to be the cherry on top of our five-hour show. And if you have not won anything from this radio station in the past 2 months or 60
days, whichever comes first,
We'll have a nifty little prize for you. So 312-981-7200. We'll take a break and we will come right back and we'll be talking to you if you're our last caller here on WGN.
Yep. Yeah, you really kind of do.
Nope,
nope, nope, nope, nope.
Can't stay here.
And no. You can't hear the rest of that because that is Red Peters, the closing song. And if you ever hear us play all of that, you know it's our swan song. Why do they call it swan song?
That's a good question. Let me quickly go to Mr. Google. I'll find out.
Okay.
Why is it...
Perhaps anything to do with Swan Lake?
I know maybe. Of Swan Lake. I'm not familiar with the plot of Swan Lake. Does somebody get killed in Swan Lake?
I was just going to guess. I've actually not seen the ballet. So.
See, you walk up to the... You present this as if, I have the definitive... It could have been Swan Lake. I expect more from you, Jonathan.
I thought my cadence was like...
It was definitive.
I thought it was question mark. I thought perhaps Swan Lake
There was no question mark in that. There was a definitive... Swan Lake.
Wait. And Google heard us say Swan Lake, and it literally changed my question from Swan Song to Swan Lake. I watched it change right there in front of me. No, I don't want Swan Lake. The phrase Swan Song refers to a final performance. We know that. It comes from an ancient poetic myth that swans... Oh, I'm going to get sad again.
Okay, tell me.
Because I love swans because... They are monogamous.
Yeah.
And when they swim together, their little heads make a heart.
Yeah.
Their necks are all...
Yeah.
The poetic...
And because their heads are wrapped around each other, choke each other and they die, and that's...
Stop!
That makes perfect sense to me.
It comes from a poetic myth that swans are silent for most of their lives... And they sing one magnificent, beautiful song, and then they die.
Or is it AI?
Stop.
To quote Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber, I was way off.
And that has so much gravitas because it comes from Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. One of my favorite movies, by the way.
Yeah.
I think I was the only person in the theater laughing loudly.
Such a classic.
It is. I even cut my hair and bangs. Like
that's awesome.
Am I confusing this, or was that the movie that we went to see?
With Bob and Christine. No, this is the one that we...
This is the one that we saw in Florida.
Yes.
And we were the only four people in the theater.
And that's why
on a Sunday afternoon.
That's why it was embarrassing, because the other three people weren't laughing, and I was...
That's an awesome private screening.
It really was.
That's one of two times we've ever done that. One was with some friends in Florida. The other time was with Bob Collins and his wife, Christine, when we first saw the airplane movie.
Yes.
And literally, we were the only four people in the theater laughing our heads off.
We threw popcorn in the air.
We literally did.
Yes. Well, what a sad story, though, about the swan. I don't want to hear any swans singing, because then they're going to just up and die. And that's where Swan Song comes from, which really brings a darkness to the whole concept of it's your swan song.
Always nice to end the show on an up note.
No,
yeah.
Let's turn to our listeners.
Okay,
I'm just going to make it simple and say, let's just go to the first one in and say good morning to Barb.
Hey, Barb.
Hi.
Hi, Barb.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Lincolnwood.
You are
really?
Well, nice to have you here, Barb. You've got power, right?
I have power. Yes.
Good. Yeah, I know.
I've been here in my house 40 years. I've never flooded. Everyone else on the block floods. I never
Wow. do. You know what? After this past week, I find myself thanking God daily for the fact that we have been so fortunate. Yes.
Why are you up at this hour of the morning?
I'm a night person. I'm about to eat dinner.
Oh. You sound like us.
Okay, so what are we planning for dinner this morning?
Yes, I've been listening to you for, years ago now. Anyway, because it's Elvis Presley's anniversary of his death, I'm thinking of my celebrity encounter with the King, which happened in 1969 in Las Vegas at the Sahara Hotel. And I was on my honeymoon with my, he's an ex now, my ex. And watching Johnny Carson stand, he did a stand-up comedy routine in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And in the middle of his show, he says to the audience, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special person in the audience. And then he, puts his arm out, and kind of points Mr. Elvis Presley. And he kind of pointed at the back of the room. We were kind of in the front. And you sit at tables. I don't know if they still do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're watching the show. So he turned around. I couldn't see anybody because it was pretty crowded. And he was pretty far back, I guess. Anyway, so then when Johnny ended the show, people stood up, to leave the room and go back in the back, away from the stage. But I dropped my purse by accident and it went under the table. So my ex had to go crawling under the table to get it. And then when I looked up, all of a sudden, here is Elvis Presley, the most beautiful thing I ever saw in my life, with someone else.
Uh-huh.
And walked right up to our table because we were the only ones there.
Oh, my gosh.
And came up and said, hi, how are you doing? Something like that, and shook our hands. And the way he said, how are you doing, it made me feel, I kind of thought he thinks that he knows me.
Oh.
It was just so personable.
Oh,
I guess that's the Southern way. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I always in my mind till I thought maybe it's the Southern, kind of bringing up. And and then he shook our hand and he asked, where are you from? I said, Chicago. And he said, oh, that's really a fun, it's a great place, fun, and everyone is friendly and it's exciting.
Wow. Well, aren't you fortunate that you dropped your purse?
Autograph.
Yeah.
And there was a reserve sign on the table, a card.
Oh, okay.
So I turned it inside out.
Oh.
And gave it to him, and I don't know if my ex gave him where the pen came from, but he signed his name, and it was amazing.
Do you still have it?
I still have, yes. I got it in the divorce.
Oh.
well, then, and you saw Elvis really
in
his...
in the divorce, and the Elvis autograph goes to me.
You saw Elvis in his prime in 69. He was looking good. He was just coming back. Now, I'm curious. Do you remember, was this before or after Elvis had played at the International? Because the International just opened around 69, and they wanted Elvis to open it, but Colonel Parker was smart. He said, no, we want someone else to be the opening act. Barbara Streisand went in as the opening act.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elvis was the second performer, and Elvis blew everyone away, and that resulted in Colonel Parker tearing up the contracts and saying, okay, we're going to do new contracts, and that started Elvis's whole Las Vegas tenure.
Hmm.
Well, we didn't have tickets for that. I don't remember why. I thought that maybe he didn't actually perform in 69. Maybe because it was after the 68 special. Maybe maybe they wanted to... see if that was a good place for him. But I guess you're saying he did perform.
He did. In fact, I have a wonderful album. It was originally released as a two-album set. It was From Vegas to Memphis. And it came out in 1969. And part of it was the recording of some of Elvis's early shows before he started using the 2001 theme. So it was definitely 1969 when Elvis first appeared in Vegas.
Oh.
But you've got a very cool memory.
I got to touch him.
Oh, my gosh.
In that audience who saw him got to touch him.
I keep thinking about your purse going under the table and how wonderful that turned out. That
I know.
Oh, I love that.
The Lord moves in mysterious ways.
Yes, yes. Well, you go enjoy your dinner. We're going to go home and have us a hamburger when we get home. And over the next few weeks, watch your mail because you're going to be getting an official WGN Radio T-shirt. And thank you for reminding us about today because it, in the world of music, it's a very big day. Elvis Presley's passing.
Yep.
And if you were alive then, you remember where you were when you heard about it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, this has been a fast, fast 5 hours.
Yes.
Thank you to Spike. Thank you to everybody for hanging out with us.
And to Ron and Bob and
Ron
Jonathan.
And Bob and Jonathan. And we will be back next week, 9:30-ish
right.
after the Sox.
Don't be scared when you tune in and there's a Sox game on that's just for us.
Yes.
To prep us for the show. So it might be 9:30 if they play 9 innings. We'll see. We'll be here either way. Have a great week, and we'll pray that your power's back on.